Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps, maybe the Glengowrie, any Glen.
And Andy. And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say it sucks, and we're all going to leave, and then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world still is the same. You never change it.
All hell is breaking loose at PFW and Progress.
You have food falling out of your mouth. This is disgusting.
All hell is breaking loose. Who bought lunch today for us?
Brian in California.
Brian in Cali.
Brian in California. Thank you, Brian.
Outstanding.
It would have been better if 2G hadn't totally screwed it up. No. I don't know.
No, don't say no. He screwed it
what
up.
What the hell
again
is going on here? First of all,
2G sucks.
He's got a Merry bunch Christmas of cardboard soup bowls here, and I asked, what's this for? He said, to drink your soda in.
We ran out of cups.
So we're drinking soda out of soup bowls. Eric, what's your problem?
I specifically wrote...
What's in my, not his problem?
Shut up. I specifically wrote in my order, responding to him, that I wanted a meatball parm sub on the homemade Syrian bread that they make at Pizzeria Grande.
Which Pompous Eric didn't just make up. It's an option on the menu.
It's an option on the menu. Either that bread or the regular
Eric,
roll.
Your mic's breaking up.
I
realize
that.
Yeah, you got to leave the show.
Like you're going to? Not soon enough?
Eric and 2G.
Try Paul's chair, because I tried to fix that one.
Oh, for God.
Just try it.
Just,
well, so you tried to fix one and broke the other?
So I specifically asked
no
him.
Better.
It's no better.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway, it comes with the other piece, the other bread that is the
just
option.
Just a regular roll.
And do you have a problem? Are you all right?
Nope.
Andy's all right.
Us peasants have to eat subs off a regular roll.
If you order the same chicken parms calzone 17 times in a row, you always get what you want.
And I got my order in late, so that's my fault. I was busy working. But, you know, because of that, I got whatever 2G got me, and he got me wings, which I can't blame him because I've ordered it twice, and that's all he knew. But I really had a hankering for an Italian. But that's all right.
So did Eric.
You know.
Mine was fine, Fred.
Yeah, you're all right. So Eric,
I'm all right, Spider.
Eric got screwed, and we're drinking soda out of soup bowls. Can you pour me a soup bowl, please?
Don't make him laugh. He's going to drop that thing. It's
can you put
liters
a little chowder on one side?
Why don't you just give us a spoon? We'll just ladle it to our mouths. All right. Anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. We're in the heat of, I don't know, what do you call this time? Pre-draft, free agency season? What do you call it? The What's on
March.
Tap season?
Start of the off-season program.
What's on tap
again, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Can you call it hot stove?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, no, I hate stealing from baseball right. because we're better than that.
Plus, it's called hot stove because it takes place when the stoves are hot. Right now,
it's
getting warmer.
Baseball never.
People aren't using their stove anymore, so now
it's in between
prepping for air conditioner season
in New England. It's one day it's 50 degrees, the next day it's 25.
I feel like I'm in jail, like drinking out of like a tin cup. Anyway,
you've been in jail before.
Some interesting things in
Tampa.
The news.
Yeah, Tampa.
Some interesting
the Bahamas.
We don't talk about those things. Some interesting things in the news. Bill Belichick being quoted by Fox Sports.
Alex Marvez.
We want to talk about that. We want to talk about the owners' meeting, which are ongoing, and some rule changes that just Paul is just beside himself on. I don't know if he's more upset about these rule changes or Northeastern losing to UMass Lowell, but he's very upset.
Well, the latter.
Yeah. He's very upset about that. And what else are we talking
about?
The
NFL also took my advice on changing the draft order. They're going to do the draft order from now on, not from now, but starting next year's draft. Playoff teams will draft from 21 to 32. Non-playoff teams, like the Patriots this year, will draft from 1 to 20. And the order of the playoff draft will be determined by where you finished in the playoffs. So, like, for example, this year, the Chargers finished 8-8 in the regular season, but they beat the 12-4 Colts. So they would draft later than the Colts.
I hope they didn't spend a lot of time talking about that. To me, it's not even that important.
But it's really something that directly involved the Patriots, because a lot of people were upset that the Patriots were 11-5, didn't make the playoffs, and had to draft later than a team like...
What, four people on a bulletin board were upset?
It penalizes teams in bad divisions.
Yeah.
The San Diego was penalized for being in a bad division. They were only 8-8, so that's what they were. Now they get penalized for making the playoffs. That's basically how that works out.
But I think it evens out because a team like 11-5 New England was penalized for being 11-5 and not making the playoffs.
But the point is, it evened out the old way too. Well, so I don't think it required a change. But you know, if they change,
I'm glad they changed it.
I have no problem with that one.
Exactly. I have no problem with it. Like I said, I hope they didn't spend a lot of time on it because there's more important issues out there.
My guess is they didn't spend a lot of time on it.
Okay.
They evidently didn't spend a lot of time on everything else either.
No? The Hockley rule?
Yeah.
Again, that I have no problem with that one.
You have no problem with the Hockley rule?
Yeah.
What do you have a problem with?
It's all the hitting and the talk about the extension of the regular season I don't like. I think 16 games is a lot of games. And I think that the product is in danger of really getting worn down. And it already is, to a large extent, a war of attrition the whole regular season. And I just think it's going to be worse and worse the more games you add. I don't think the 18th game is going to be anything to watch. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why the players aren't up in arms about it.
Well, they might be. Who knows?
No,
well,
but I've read more.
They haven't made any changes yet. Talking about it.
But I've read more players saying that if they changed overtime, they're against it because it'd be playing more football, and you're already playing too much football. Mm-hmm. And I haven't read as many quotes about
extending
the
season. Well, DeMaurice Smith has already said, before they make any changes, we'd like to be consulted on.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, because you're adding, I mean, there's a lot of money involved. But I'm just saying, players have said that if they did a full 15-minute overtime, it'd be extra football, extra
injuries.
Here's
my take on that.
Why don't they say that about two extra games?
Andy's right about that.
Here's my take on that. The reason why the owners are even mentioning that right now, and some of the other things as bargaining chips, because when they sit down, there are much, much more important things to the owners that they need to get into a new CBA, and then they can say, "Well, look, we won't increase the season. We'll give
or
you
even,
that concession.
We'll go from 18 to 17."
Right.
I think 17 is the number they want. They want that one neutral site game.
Yeah.
And they'll say, "Well, we won't do 18, 9-9 home and away. We'll do 17.
Right.
And we'll have." And I thought Florio brought up a good sort of possibility. Every team, there's going to be 16 extra games, half of those games being played in L.A., and the other half being played somehow internationally, whether it's Canada or London, who knows, China.
Right.
My favorite quote Mexico. That I saw about that whole 17 versus 18 was Jerry Jones said, "I'm in favor of 18 games." And the reporter said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Because it's a round number."
Okay.
That was his answer.
Well, that comes into play if you're doing home and away.
I know, but I'm just taking that out of context. Just taking that out of context.
But if you have a neutral site game, if every team has a neutral site game, then it doesn't have to be necessarily.
Right. No, I was just joking because it just taken out of context, it just looks like he was saying, "Oh, it's an even number." Well, so's 10.
So's 16 and 20, 22, 14.
I mean, from a selfish perspective, I'd love to see them play 18 games because it's more games to watch and whatnot. I just look at the product, and I'm wondering if what kind of negative impact it's going to have on it. And I know the fans are looking. Then you know, it's the more games you play, the more you get to see what you want to see. And the NFL right now is the big cheese. It's the number one game, number one sport. So who wouldn't want more games? But
yeah, but isn't the argument against baseball and basketball? Oh, the seasons are so long and blah blah blah.
Well, it's interesting.
I feel like you're going in that direction, and a lot of the steps the NFL takes.
Well, it's interesting the way Goodell framed it, and this addresses exactly what you're talking about. He says we look at it as a 20-game season as it is right now.
Yep.
And we're not going to expand that. We're going to change the amount of preseason as opposed to regular season. So in his mind, you're not expanding the season.
Right.
You're just changing the emphasis of the preseason. You know,
right, but that's one or two extra games where most of the starters who
right.
don't play
no.
are playing.
Right. It still gets to the war of attrition, like Paul said, right. because in those preseason games, the starters aren't playing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Goodell can make that statement, and it's true. But it really isn't the way it is,
right.
if that makes any
it's
sense.
It's not really true.
Because those players don't play in the preseason
That's right.
games.
And here's what's going to happen.
But they still work.
And they play less and less.
But my guess is, games. Even if they say, because we've talked about, Fred, that if they added a week, then they're playing the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, so you have the holiday. Well, using that theory, I doubt training camps are going to start much later. So the season is still as long. As a fan, you're still following it from training camp through the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You added a week, whether there's three preseason games in August or four, for you, it's still extending the length of your fandom, basically.
And another thing that's going to happen is, okay, let's say we reduce the amount of preseasons to three or two. Teams will say, okay, let's do scrimmages. You know, let's have a scrimmage
right.
against the
at
Giants.
At training camp scrimmage?
Again, you know, it's extending it for the players.
Right.
The amount
mm-hmm.
of
no matter what, the players are right. going to show up July 20-something and have to work through February 14th or whenever that Super Bowl will be.
Yep.
Whether they play three preseason games or two or one or four or seven. They're working that entire length of time.
So if I'm obviously Demoris Smith, I'm saying, okay, we want more revenue. We want salaries to go up proportionally.
Well, that's why I think they're going to go the 18-17 thing. They're going to make it look like they're actually giving the players something back. Okay, we won't make it go. We'll take a week away from you. But, you know, even if they do not like Andy's saying and extended it at the back end, let's just say – it's letter of the law on paper, the way Goodell says, with the 20 weeks. But now instead of four preseason games, it's now three. And then they start, you know, the regular season starts Labor Day weekend instead of the week after Labor Day.
Right.
I'm worried about more games being played at a high level, more complete games by the frontline players. And Belichick has talked about this a lot in the past. He talks about it with us. Where do you see a lot of injuries happen?
And I
heard them talking about this on EEI yesterday, too, and Bill's right about it. A lot of serious injuries happen early in the season, and that's probably understandable, given that the guys aren't really ready to play 60 minutes of football. So now you're asking them to do it again, earlier possibly, and for a longer period of time. I just think as you get to the playoffs, you're really running the risk of watering down your product.
Well, the other thing I was thinking about, and I talked myself out of it immediately, but one thing I was thinking is that maybe the first two regular season games of the season, the rosters are expanded. And then there's a final cut down after the second regular season game.
They might have to do something
like
that.
But as a coach, I'm like, no. I'm not using regular season games to experiment and evaluate players. By the time I get into regular season, I need to know who my guys are.
Plus, there would be cap ramifications to that because you're paying them a true salary, not just training camp pay. That would be a slippery slope if you started doing that.
No, that's why I talked myself out of it.
I think, first of all, I would really like to be privy to the conversations that Fred has with himself.
I wouldn't. I think they would
be
very scary.
I think they'd be highly entertaining.
It can't be any more confusing than what he does on
this
show.
But I was talking more along the lines of not necessarily expanding the roster, but expanding the amount of eligible players. So instead of 45 on Sunday, 53 on Sunday for for the first month or whatever.
Take your practice squad guys and make them eligible, basically?
No, the eight guys that are game day inactives are eligible to play in the first month of the season or whatever. That doesn't affect the salary cap at all.
But this is a tricky one for the union. Oh, okay, so you're just expanding game day.
I think you just had one of those conversations.
I did.
Now, you tell me that's not entertaining.
You're expanding just the game day roster, not the overall roster.
Not the overall roster.
Okay, because I was going to say, if you expand the overall roster...
No.
Then that has salary ramifications.
Right. Yes. Then teams can say, oh, well, we're going to expand the overall roster, which means that the salary pool has to go up. Thank you, Eric.
The other side.
Eric
there
just
you go.
Told me to wipe my mouth. the overall salary pool has to go up because we're accommodating more players. But certain players would say, well, that's not good, though, because that doesn't mean necessarily I'm making more money.
Right.
You know, the extra money that's being put into the salary pool is going to, you know, shock Main Davis.
The other thing I kind of worry about is if there were only two preseason games, I worry a little bit about the quality of play in those first few regular season games, because to me, two regular season games is a little it's not enough to really get your team prepared. I think three is probably the right number. Four is maybe a little too much, but
I mean preseason games.
Preseason games. And I think if you only had two preseason games, then you start playing the games for real. I don't think you really have your offense really isn't in sync. Your defense, maybe you're still plugging in parts that don't really know the system.
But both teams are the same.
I realize that, but
the other team's offense and defense.
Sure,
good.
But I worry that that's going to affect the quality of play that you see out on the field for those early few games.
You don't have to preach to me. I'm a big fan. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I don't think the NFL is broken anyway.
No, I don't think they're financially.
Well, no, I think that preseason season is broken.
Why?
Three games. What do you think?
Coaches are allowed to manage it
the way
they want.
The way it is, if you're a fan, if you're a fan, you're paying full price for two extra.
Stupidest argument.
Okay.
Why is it stupid?
Because you're buying season tickets. Most of the people that go to those games get them for free because the season ticket holder doesn't want to go. He pays for them and hands them to a friend.
Right.
So you're not buying anything. The season ticket holder is buying the rights to season tickets. That's what he's buying. I've always said this. Whatever you want to print on that ticket price, I don't care.
Okay.
I'm buying a $2,000 package that allows me to go to every Patriots game at Gillette Stadium this season.
I hear you.
I understand that.
You know what? Yeah. And I do. I agree with Andy on that. And I think it's the same kind of premise that you can extrapolate to the players who are going to be up in arms that we get 16 game checks. Well, in my opinion, you don't get 16 game checks. You get X and X your salary for a year.
But that's how they do it.
No, I know, but it's wrong and it's flawed. And I don't know why no one ever looks at it that way. You get paid in life for whatever you do if you're a salaried employee per year. If you're a salaried employee, you don't get it. If you don't get X, you know, depending on commissions and whatever. I'm not talking about salesmen. A football player gets paid a yearly salary. Now, he happens to get that salary in weekly installments as game checks. I don't understand. He's still going to get the same amount of money.
Well,
Stupid stuff. We're talking, during training camp, you don't get paid what you know, 1/16th of what you make in the regular season. That's true.
Right. But checks are equal to what most people make in a year.
No, but I'm not even talking about the size of the checks. I'm saying Mike Vrabel makes $3 million for 2009. He's going to make $3 million whether he plays in 5 games, 10 games, 15 games, or 18 games. He makes $3 million.
Exactly.
I don't care how he's given it.
No, but I
that's
know,
his salary.
I see what you're saying, but they do base it on the length of the season.
I know that's how they base it, but it's dumb.
If the season is extended, the players, you know, justifiably say, look, it's an extra week of practice. It's an extra week of game.
But it's really not.
It's not, though.
No,
that's
if it did. If it did, I'm saying.
But it wouldn't be. In actuality, he's getting the same amount no matter how many games he plays or doesn't play.
That's why.
Why don't they bitch about going to mandatory minicamp?
That's why Goodell framed it the way he did. We look at it as a 20-game season, and that's not being expanded. The reason he did that was to throw out the argument of, well, now you're making me play an extra game. You need to pay me more. That's why he framed the argument.
When a player and his agent are negotiating with a team, I don't see them sitting there saying, well, we want X number of dollars because my client is going to be playing this number of games. They're just arriving at a total dollar amount for the year.
You know what'd be interesting is to go back and try to find what was being said when they expanded from 14 to 16. What were the arguments being said? How did they
and it
resolve
was the same
it?
Way. They went from six preseason to four.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Same thing.
Okay. So what was being said then and what was, you know.
Let's ask Hannah.
I don't know, Fred. You were the only one old enough to know.
I bet you Hannah wasn't happy about it. It's just a guess I'm throwing out there.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting stuff. All right. So Brian.
What do you think Hannah thought about Billy Sullivan being inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame?
Something that can't be played on this radio show.
Well, we'll talk about that, too. But the lunch today was provided by Brian in Santa Cruz, California. You know, now Brian always complains that I never read his emails.
Because you don't read his
emails. No, for some reason, his emails go into my regular email box. They don't go into the web radio box for somehow.
Yes, they do.
I don't get them. I get them in my regular email box.
And they don't come up on this computer.
This morning, I had to take his email and put it into web radio on my email system.
Weird.
It's weird. That's why. So it's nothing personal. But you buy us lunch and you'll always get your email read.
Damn right.
So
Eric had that look on his face like, that's not true.
Yeah. No.
Fred's screwing something up. And it's like, I got home last night. My mother-in-law watches my kids when Beth works. And she says, you know, it's the strangest thing. My friend Kathy, who lives right down the street, I can't call her from your house. And I immediately had that look on my face that Eric just gave Fred. That can't be true.
So you went and dialed it?
And
sure enough, son of a bitch, didn't go through.
Son of a bitch, I couldn't get the call to go through. Anyway,
such
sorry.
An idiot. It's like the look that IT people give you when you say, hey, my computer's not working. And well, did you plug it in?
Right.
Is the power on?
Have you rebooted?
All right.
Shift F5.
Brian in Santa Cruz, California says, hey, guys, and I would say Eric, but his status seems to be on the rise lately. So it's just, hey, guys, for today, assuming all went smoothly with 2G ordering lunch. Well, it didn't.
It did.
It did. He did his best to
Your problem is your problem.
No, I was late. He did his best to kind of try to screw it up, but he really didn't.
He did. No, he screwed Eric.
He screwed it up.
I hope you guys enjoy the food as it's on me. I discovered your show on Patriots.com last September, and I haven't missed a show since. You guys are the best. You remind me of being back in Mass at some family function where heated arguments about the most trivial of topics seem to be a common occurrence. It's awesome. I moved out to Santa Cruz in 98, but remain a loyal New England sports fan. Just a couple quick questions. What are your thoughts on a 17 or 18 game schedule? Well, good timing because we just talked about it. Also, assuming we sure up the outside linebacker position, will Fred's prediction come true? We all know that what our offense is capable of, and we improve significantly on defense. I think there is a real good chance that Fred is right. I guess he means winning the Super Bowl. One more quick question. I know this is kind of off topic, but what did you guys think of the Jets rookie cornerback Dwight Lowry last year? The only reason I ask is because I played high school football with him here in Santa Cruz, and it's kind of exciting to see him have some success. Dwight Lowry.
Didn't really make much of an impression.
No, he wasn't bad. He had a decent rookie year, and he was kind of one of those pleasant surprises in their camp. I think he was a fourth-round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that.
He was a reasonably good surprise. Now, on the flip side, they seem to be taking the Patriots approach of signing any cornerback that they can find out there to fix what they felt was broken. I mean, they picked up Lito Shepard. I think they just signed someone else yesterday, Donald Strickland. So they clearly thought secondary was an area that needed to be improved.
Okay.
What was the other question?
How we feel about the 17-18.
Well, we just talked about the 17-18.
Oh, I have a question. Assuming they go to 17 and it's neutral site stuff, is there really a market for 16 neutral site games?
That's a lot.
That is a ton. Because internationally, it's a ridiculous amount of work for, in my mind, you lose the gimmick angle. Now it's once a year, wherever it is, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it was one per country, could you find 16 countries that want NFL games?
No.
I mean, Mexico and Canada, England.
It would be L.A.
Well, is there a market in L.A.?
Well, how are they going to play 16 games in L.A.?
Why not?
Eight. They want to play eight in L.A. That's Florio's.
In one weekend?
No.
Over
every weekend, there'd be a game.
It's like they'd have a
you
team.
You take your humble pie.
That was just me.
I did.
That was a little stupid.
It's like having a team there without having a team. Every week they could count on a game.
But could they count on fans to go to that game?
Well, that's the question.
I don't think so. Now, maybe some teams like the Patriots
or whatever. I personally
don't
understand the fascination. You know, tell me if it is true what the fascination is with L.A. I don't really know why they clamor to get back into a market that clearly didn't want a team.
It's stupid. Like some teams, Patriots, I would think, now have reached that point. Cowboys, Steelers, whatever. But what if it's like, I don't know.
I tell you what,
Chiefs,
though.
Saints, or something. I mean, are there really going to be enough of those teams' fans to go? Or
I tell you what, though, I would rather see them play extra games in L.A. with the current teams than to try to move a franchise or to try to add a 33rd franchise in L.A. I'd rather they do that. I'd rather they do it this way.
See, I think this has that a greater chance to fail. If they do that, then they at least you're trying to build a fan base. This way, you're counting on people to show up for some circus gimmick once a week.
I'd really be against the expansion. I agree with you on that, Aaron.
Well, I'm against expansion, but
there's too many teams.
I'm just
I like it at 32.
I'm against force-feeding a team to L.A. No one wants a team in L.A.
Exactly.
Most importantly, the people of L.A.
There was a
They've
rumor
spoken.
A couple of years ago after Katrina, there was the rumor that the Saints might be the logical one to move, but they seem like they're entrenched in Louisiana. They're not going anywhere. Minnesota. There was another team that was rumored to be going over there.
It's a bargaining chip for all these stadium deals.
Well, that's in Florida. I talked about that with Minnesota. They wouldn't like to see that. You're playing games in L.A. That takes away a big bargaining chip for them.
Right.
Well, it does for a while, but while you're doing that, you're building your fan base to now accept a permanent team there.
But they had
But if we expand the schedule
for
to
the
17
time.
Games.
Well, the only reason they don't is because Al Davis decided he wanted to leave again.
The Rams?
The Rams were there.
The Rams were the L.A. team, not really the Raiders. The Raiders
what,
8 years
They were playing in the Rose Bowl, right? Wasn't that an issue?
The Raiders were in the L.A. Coliseum. The Rams played in the L.A. Coliseum, too, and they also played in Anaheim.
Right.
So wasn't it a stadium issue? St. Louis said we're going
to
build
a stadium?
But
no one went to the game.
Yeah, but nobody went there.
Is that right?
Yeah. L.A. fans didn't support football. That's the main reason why
a lot
teams
of people
didn't
in L.A.
want to play there.
Listen, I'm no sociologist. I don't know all the facts, but a lot of the reasons that people came up with were that there were a lot of transplants in L.A. first of all, and they would rather have the option of being able to see the best games every week on TV rather than be forced to watch their local team that they don't really have a connection to.
Which is another reason why I liked rotating the game every week and having a neutral site game in L.A. with two different teams.
I think that would fall on its face.
I'd rather see them try that, though, than to try to force feed a franchise.
I'd rather do that, Andy. If you're going to have the 17-game thing, I'd rather see them put 8 in L.A. and 8, one in Vancouver, one in Montreal, one in London, one in Mexico, than try to find 16 international places to have games.
Yeah, you could find 8, I think.
Probably.
Or even rotate,
Well, I just had 4 up the top of my head. That really wouldn't be that hard travel-wise.
And if you needed to do 2 in each of those countries to begin with.
Sure, that wouldn't be a bad idea. You put one early in the season and one late in the season in the same city.
I think you could certainly find. I mean, you didn't even bring up China and Japan, right? Australia.
A regular season game there? That's just not right.
I'm just saying the markets, I think, would bear it. I think if you put a game in China or Japan, you'd fill that stadium and
they'd absolutely.
Walk it.
But
I do think the market would bear it, but now I think you're really
fair.
Now you're impacting teams.
508-543-7482 is the phone number.
Send Chiefs Raiders.
Chris with a TIAN is on the phone. Christian, how you doing?
Okay, gentlemen, what's happening?
How are you?
What's up, Christian?
We're fighting.
Not much. You guys bring up a lot of good points. I'm all for more football, but I think you probably would have to expand the rosters, and then what do you do with evaluating rookies if you only have 2-3 preseason games? How does that work?
Well, yeah, Bill talked about that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to make those evaluations on some young kids. Yep. He talked about, not necessarily the top draft picks, but maybe like your fourth rounder, fifth rounder, some of those undrafted free agents. Do they have enough time?
Yeah, Will Hite, Vince Redd, guys like that. Maybe Leia's a bit
Well, that
around.
Might be where now they're talking about a developmental league again, starting up another developmental league in the spring and getting reps for young players, and that might come into play there.
What about expand the game day rosters? That's probably a pretty good idea, too, maybe.
Well,
from 53 to what, 55, maybe 56, I don't know. I'd have to find the number, but...
No, game day would be... It's 45 right now.
Yeah, overall roster.
That's right, not 53.
Yeah, I could go from 45 to 53 active every game, so the coaches have more players. Especially early in the year when, Bill does this all the time, you see guys rotating in and out. How many times last year, Andy, do we see the offensive line?
Yep.
It was almost like, a revolving door at times.
I don't see why early in the season. Why do they have the rule in place that you have to deactivate eight players anyway?
Bill goes into that, and it's a very long one of those.
Ralph
long,
Wilson chimes in.
Yeah, it's one of those really long explanations that when you actually listen to it, it makes a little sense. Yeah. But
trying to recreate it later is nearly impossible.
It's a very complex proposal.
To me, it just seems like you have a 53-man roster. Those 53 should be available every week.
There is a reason for it, and I don't really get it.
If you are deactivated for every game, let's say you're on the Patriots 53-man roster, but you are never on the 45-man game day roster, does that they are not accrued season games, right?
No, it would be.
Oh, they would still be?
You're on the active roster.
Because I was thinking that maybe they're not.
It might have something to do with money, though.
I think it's 10, Andy. Is that right? If you spend 10 games on an active roster, that counts as an accrued season?
Six, I believe.
Six, is it? Okay.
It's either 10 or six. It's that breakdown.
So it doesn't matter
game day.
Even
number?
Yeah.
As long as you're under 53,
yeah,
as long as you're under 53, you're getting credit for accrued.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I actually had a question in regards to my comments, and I'll let you guys go. They have 11 draft picks, right?
Yep.
How many spots do you think they'll actually draft? I mean, I don't see 11 guys making the team.
I don't know.
It'll be.
I would say eight or nine.
I don't think they'll make the team, but.
Yeah. I don't think they'll make all of those picks.
Yeah, they'll probably make some trades for draft picks in future years, next year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or to move around in
there. What are you at, a party, Christian? What's going on back there?
Yeah, I actually got to go. There's some people coming.
All right, see you, Christian.
All right. See you later.
All right.
Another great moment in PFW
progress.
Sounded
like he was at the YMCA or something.
That was a little weird.
Some kid drowning.
Did you tell that story? About your guy? Oh, you guys already talked about this on the.
What are we talking about?
You already talked about this on the radio.
Oh, you're the military guy with the training.
Oh, yeah, Fred, the Marine who emailed in that knows me last week. He owns a training center. It's a small like studio where he does personal training and he prepares athletes and stuff for college.
Yeah.
He plays our show in the workout.
Is that right?
Yeah. Which I'm not all that comfortable with that, honestly.
What's the name of it? We'll shout it out.
I need to look that up.
Oh,
I will.
Oh, did you see the SPFW too related to that?
Fred's nothing if not professional. What's the name of it?
Oh, I have another question. Why he asked? Since he plays our show, we'll give him the benefit. He said he downloaded the team picture in the fan download area from our site.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady's not in it. Do you know why? Was that taken after he was hurt last year, or?
I don't know.
See, I was going to try to find the answer, but I needed like a login and a password.
What a controversy.
I couldn't.
Why don't you,
maybe Chris Ferreira would know.
Oh, I think if you just hit Shift F5.
Oh, boy.
Before print, but right before you print it, hit Shift F5.
Some woman wrote in her son is in high school and is trying to play college football and he's looking for a trainer. This might be your friend, the Marine. This might be the perfect thing for
her. Is he in Dartmouth, Mass? Because otherwise, I don't think it's going to work out.
She's in Massachusetts. She wrote in from Massachusetts. Yeah.
PFW in progress. Building the economy,
building bridges,
bringing
you know
people together
funny about
in
that
the business.
Is that the high school coach told her to go,
hey,
look
go
on
surf
the
web?
Go look on the internet. I'm like, yeah, nothing to tell.
Sounds like the
kid.
Same high school coach who brought you back after training camp.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
A bad one.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
My eighth grade son was lifting at the high school yesterday with the, they bring in
that's
the eighth graders that no. The eighth grader is going to play football at the high school, but he went anyway.
Lifting.
And the coach took him aside. Said, if you don't like Severian, you can come here. So he's getting the strong arm by the head coach.
I don't
like tampering.
That. I don't either.
It's tampering already. High
tampering.
School tampering.
Tampering.
Also, I'll tell you later.
Oh,
what's that?
Nothing.
Oh,
I'll tell you later.
It has something to do with my Northeastern sign over there.
No.
Okay.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482.
Did you hear Frodney Harrison?
I did. We're going to talk about that after the break.
The 2009 MLS season is here. Saturday, April 4th, the New England Revolution host First Kick 2009 at Gillette Stadium when they take on Western Conference foe FC Dallas at 7:30 p.m. Taylor Twellman, Shalry Joseph, and the rest of the Revs are set to kick off their home schedule, and you can be a part of it.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Tickets for First Kick 2009 start at just $20, with discounts available for groups of 20 or more. Plus, the first 5,000 fans in attendance will receive a limited edition Revolution First Kick 2009 scarf free. Don't wait.
Get your tickets now by calling the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or find great deals by visiting revolutionsoccer.net. So warm up your vocal cords and get to Gillette Stadium for First Kick 2009. Pride.
Off the line, and saved by Reese.
Passion.
Flick, the shot, and the goal!
Revolution.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. Here's what PFW in Progress would sound like if we had a bleep button.
Fred, what'd you think it was like today when you came in this morning? How'd you feel?
Colder than a witch's. What? I can't say that? That's not good?
Well, we do have the thing at the beginning now, the warning.
Come on, guys. You know you can't say on Patriots.com radio, and you call yourselves professionals.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress.
Warming up. It's not quite as cold as a you-know-what out
finally.
There.
Finally. Jeez. You know, we need to thaw out.
Not as cold as the teacher's wit?
That's very good, Eric. If you keep it up, I'm going to read Kamani's email.
Oh, God. There's a nice little feud developing between Fred and Eric the last couple shows.
Well, I like the one between 2G and Eric better.
Well, that's kind of like
a little chick cat fight.
Yeah. Fred, they're talking about, you know, comparing their athletic skills.
No, we weren't.
Oh, this
you were
questioning who could. But
we should have a superstars competition between Eric and
yeah, we want to put together a combine thing, but we'd have to alter it. Like they couldn't do 225 because you know they can't do 225.
Can't do 225.
It would be like the bar and see who could do the bar more time.
Right. Do more than the bar. Like a buck.
The bar is 45 pounds.
Eric, I can do more than the bar.
Can I enter my wife in this competition?
Sure.
She would beat both of us.
She probably could. She has to live with you. She has to be a tough woman. Your wife's a good athlete, though.
Yeah. Not right now. She's not.
Well, I mean, she's a little
pregnant. She could probably still beat 2-Jenner in the 40s.
Well, she's more than a little pregnant right now.
When do you do?
His head is not giving birth,
first of all. If anyone at this table looks pregnant,
oh, stop.
Other than Paul, it's you.
When is your wife due?
Next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Okay. So I assume you're going to be not coming into work, or what? How's that working?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to take the time off when he actually has beep.
Okay.
Fred just morphed back into 1999, Fred. What do you mean you're taking time off?
This is the business you have chosen.
I mean, what's the plan here? Do you have
a week
plan?
Off like I did last time.
Well, have you put in for it yet?
I don't know when it's going to be.
Okay. I mean,
should I put in for a floater week?
Give us a little notice here, you know, so that Eric can...
Well, he knows.
I got you slack.
We're aware.
We've been on notice for about 2 weeks now. Actually, I'm surprised he was in all this week. I actually thought this week was going to happen.
I didn't think you would even close because I thought it was April. I was a little surprised to find out you were on pins and needles already.
He was on pins and needles while you were on vacation.
No, I know.
Very irritable lately. She at the end of her rope.
I understand that. Beth had a tougher time at the end of the second one than the first one, too.
I think it's because it's a chick, too. Not my wife, a kid.
I didn't know how to respond to that.
They say girls put the mother through more or something.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't know who they is, and I don't know if they is right.
I have no idea.
What do you do? He just not.
See, Fred doesn't know. He didn't go through this.
All right.
Well, he's going through it right now.
Uh-huh.
Are you lactating?
Let me tell you something.
What?
When you say that, it's usually entertaining.
It's another one of those conversations going on.
Nah, I was going to say something nasty. I thought twice about it. Are we having a debate over Reel and Flash? I thought the debate's over.
Well, it is.
We never had the debate.
You made the decision, and you went with Flash.
Harry in Maryland says, are you playing dumb, or do you really not understand how your show is run? Real Player is a standalone player for playing multimedia files, similar to Windows Media Player. It's a big program which must be installed and is notorious for overthrowing your computer with additional features you do not want. Flash is a simple add-on specifically for streaming audio and video on the web. Flash is already on nearly everyone's computer. If you have ever watched YouTube, you have Flash. You may not even know you have it because it's fairly behind the scenes. Okay, so we switched. So what's the issue?
I don't know.
And he says, P.S., I was on board with 2G for a while, but he can't handle the drop-ins, which is a huge aspect of the show. His only good bit was the phone number switch. That's Harry in Maryland.
Don't worry. We won't be dealing with 2G much longer.
2G. Oh, 2G. We'll be seeing it.
Oh, somebody else is on the phone. John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, great. John.
Hey, John.
Hey, I got a couple quick questions for you, and maybe, I will let you get offline because I'm a problem.
Okay.
There's no chance you said that in the first game you were saying there were no Wrecker uniforms, that they would ever wear the Trident uniforms?
No,
no, it's the 63 uniforms, which had the Pat Patriot logo on them.
I believe that that is accurate, yes.
Okay, and my other question is, are you guys going to put up a record of them in Foxborough and Fenway Park and BU Field, what their records were?
We have that.
I think that's on the website, isn't it?
I believe it is on the website.
And you
can
probably
find it
in the media guide. We'll look at that and we'll see if we can find that before the end of the show.
Okay. Well, next week I'll be buying lunch because 2G didn't send me you guys' email, but I'll be doing it definitely next week.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
2G.
And we apologize for you having to
John
deal with 2G.
John is openly begging to buy lunch, 2G.
I know. I'll get it next week.
Get something done.
Page 246. It's on here.
All right, guys. Thanks. Good
All
luck.
Right. See you, John. Good luck
thanks,
with the
John.
Travels.
All right.
46 is it?
John, yeah. John's old school. John's always interested in the historical aspect.
John's no
I
nonsense.
I like that because you know
when he calls up, he has a certain question that he needs answered.
Then he gets out.
Yeah,
he doesn't want you guys talk.
Trivia question.
None of the hijinks for John.
Where do the Patriots have their worst record at home? Which home?
Where? I'd say Fenway Park.
No. Harvard Stadium, 2-6. Wow. A 250 winning percentage. Second is Boston College Alumni Stadium, 4-5 for a 444 winning percentage. Third is Fenway Park, where they also had a losing record. It's a Revs-like, 16-17-5 for 487. BU, 12-7-1, very good at BU, 625. Mm. Foxborough Stadium, 133-104-0 for a 561. And Gillette Stadium, I don't know.
There would never a tie game at Foxborough Stadium.
Wow. And there never will be.
How many home games did they win last year? Because they were 39-9-0 heading into last year.
Were we 5-3 last year at home? Oh, was that 2 years ago? Okay.
It wasn't two years ago.
It was 16-0.
So, yeah, they're like they have like 44, 45 wins.
So John wants to know these records of all the 60s teams?
He wanted to know
what the stadiums,
all,
and I just read it.
All our records in the various venues that they've played in. We lost at home to the Jets last year. We lose at home to anybody else?
Is Alumni Stadium in a different place now?
Well, it's a much different
it's
stadium.
It's a different stadium.
No, but they've
refurbished it.
In this picture, there's water right outside the end zone.
Oh, it's probably the reservoir.
Yeah, that's the reservoir.
Yeah, but it's not that close anymore, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, let me see the picture.
It's not that close.
I don't know if it's that close.
I mean,
close.
That's like overthrow a pass in the end zone.
This is nothing resembling the stadium that they have now.
That might have been taken during the flood of 64.
5-3-0. 5-3-0.
Jim in Texas is on the phone. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing today, guys?
We're doing great.
Good?
They did lose three games last year, by the way, at home. I thought that was 5-3. Pittsburgh, Miami, and the Jets. Sorry.
Oh, that's no problem. Hey, listen, Torrey Holtz in Jacksonville. I don't know if you guys have been talking about that or not.
I saw that he was visiting in Jacksonville today. I did see that.
Yeah, the reports down here are saying that they think that there's a strong mutual interest in both parties. I think it'd be a good move for them, certainly.
I think it's an excellent move for us.
Well, better them than Indianapolis.
It'd be a great move for Jacksonville. They have no wide receivers. They have a huge void there.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Here's another question for you. If that's the case, what's the deal with Reggie Williams currently, their former receiver?
I've only heard you talk about Reggie Williams, Jim, honestly.
I haven't heard one thing about him all offseason.
Well, didn't you make him out to be one of the best playmakers in football?
I would take him. If you're asking me would I take him on my team, sure.
Sure.
I think he's a decent receiver to a 3/4.
Yeah.
He's not the ninth. He was a ninth player taken in the draft, right. And I think that always hurt him. I personally think that I've watched enough film. I live in the Jacksonville area when I'm not in Texas. Anyways, he's not bad. I mean, put it this way. I take him in the same line as I take Greg Lewis.
Well, I think he's more talented. I think he's better than Greg Lewis.
Oh, he's a better player.
So I would take him. I mean, more talented than Lewis.
With that.
What's the baggage? What does he have for baggage?
Well, he's a loudmouth. He's a malcontent. He thinks that he's a lot better than he really is.
Okay, so he's not a Patriot then.
How hard is it to actually work with Fred right now? Because every time the Patriots make a move and something good happens, he's just got to be smiling from ear to ear. He must be like,
he is.
You know,
he walked in the door today with a stupid, huge grin on his face.
What do you do with this guy?
We can't.
You heard me.
But anyways, no. I mean, as far as I think Peppers is a done deal, I don't think we're going to get him.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm rehashing everything you probably already talked about.
No. We haven't talked Peppers yet today. No. And there was some new information where the agent has gone quiet. A guy from the Covers Carolina emailed him. He emailed him back and said, we're not commenting anymore until something does or doesn't happen.
He's already said too much.
Well, that's why I think it's the Patriots that are involved.
That's right. The Panthers beat writer surmised that doesn't close the door on Patriots-Panthers because both teams like to keep things quiet and work best in the quiet, and maybe that's why they're going quiet.
My prediction is that if anything happens, it'll happen on draft day.
Well, you'll notice that the Patrick Ramsey rumor happened over the weekend that, you know, he was mulling two offers, one of them being the Patriots. And the Patriots, you know, wanted it out there clearly that there was no offer to Patrick Ramsey. And that wasn't just, you know, as a slap down to Patrick Ramsey and or his agent. It was to tell anyone else that they're talking to right now that we don't appreciate that, you know, using us as leverage. Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, guys. Is anybody committed to buying you guys lunch for during the draft weekend?
Draft weekend, we're all set. Yeah, but thank you for the offer.
They feed us, but we'll put you in queue. Two Gender will keep in touch.
Let me ask you this question. How about next week?
2G, get 2G. On 2G. It. 2G.
Now you got John, and now what? Jim
will stay on the phone. Send an email, Jim.
How difficult is it to put him on hold and get his information?
He just did.
It's hard, Eric.
Oh, my God, you are a moron.
Jim, send an email so 2G can, you know, you can hold 2G's hand while he tries to order.
He's busy eating a package of combos right now.
Guys, I love the show. I listen to it when I'm driving back and forth between Texas and Florida, and you guys are the best. I'll send 2G an email, and maybe I'll send him some smoke signals, too.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Thanks. Oh, boy,
2G. I can't wait till 2G is gone.
They're really going out of their way lately. Have you noticed that?
Because they have to deal with that.
But they're just really, the generosity has been.
It really is.
It's overwhelming. You know,
2Gender does his best to make it difficult on them.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
I mean, if people reacted like this,
I hope he gets fired in that new job.
Is he just burping?
He's belching. I hope he loses that job. Oh my God!
He's a disgusting human being. Not to mention he's got serious illness because he's eating nonstop in there, and he weighs 110 pounds.
He's one of those people that just it's on.
Yeah, they're called cancer patients. He's gonna die.
All right. Did you have to go that far?
Look at him.
All right, that might have crossed the line a little
just
bit.
A little
it
bit.
Did cross a line.
Just a little bit.
Steven Amherst, New Hampshire, says, you need to fix Flash so we can pause. This is killing me.
I thought that was fixed.
No. Bitching. Flash, said, no. It's not a matter of fixing. Flash doesn't have the capability in live streaming to pause yet. Could be coming in a few months, according to Adobe.
Adobe makes Flash?
Yes. Bitching aside, if the NFL goes to 18 games, don't you think it would be prudent to incorporate two buys into the season to help players heal up from an exhausting season due to the extra games? Ideally, the buys would occur between weeks 4 and 6 and 3, 13 and 15.
Yeah, but then you'd be making it a 20-week I mean, right now it's a 17-week season with 16 games.
Well, how would they
so if you add two, at minimum, it now becomes a 19-week season. If you add another buy, it's a 20-week season.
Regular season.
Right.
But it's a good point, though, because we mentioned earlier that they were talking about maybe having the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend. How would they accommodate for moving the season that 1 week later? Because right now it ends the week before.
Adding a game.
Yeah, but you're not adding the total number of games. It's still a 20-game season. Because if it went to 18, you'd only be playing two.
You're adding a regular
season. If they went to 18.
Yeah, but you'd be taking away from the preseason.
The talk that they're saying.
But you wouldn't be altering the preseason. Instead of it starting on August 7th, it would start August 14th, I think. You'd have a longer lead up to your first preseason game.
You'd be pushing it.
Or a bigger space in between.
Okay, so that's how they would accommodate.
Well, it depends. If they go 18, they're talking about starting the regular season a week earlier than it starts now.
Right.
If they go 17, I don't know what they would do.
I don't think there's any chance in hell they go 18 by the sounds of all the
I don't think even the NFL wants to do that.
I also need to say, the only person I've ever heard say that they want to play the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend is Fred. Have you guys read that anywhere?
Oh, I've read it.
Oh, okay.
But I don't understand it.
I'm not taking a shot at you. I'm just saying you're the only person I've ever heard say it.
I think it's great.
Why?
Then it becomes a real holiday. You have Monday off.
Okay.
You know, everyone complains, I got to go to work tomorrow.
Well,
I do that every day.
Well, yeah, you do.
That's not limited to Super Bowl Sunday for me. That's every Sunday for me.
You guys. What are you holding up? This is radio.
I'm holding it for Andy's purposes.
Super Bowl on President's Day.
Good
longer
God,
NFL
Fred.
Season in reach is the headline.
I'm pointing out. I'm defending you, Fred.
All right.
See what happens when you defend the Patriots, Fred? You just get all mad.
I got to call Roger about my arms out front tackling.
You haven't gotten
Roger,
that done yet?
No, I'm busy.
Why don't you start a little lower and call Jonathan?
I'm so busy.
Yeah, you probably should run that by inside circles yet.
Trying to make up for the fact that he sucks.
And he hasn't
by
done anything for the last
buttons.
2 months.
Actually, his elbow just hit that button. let's see. Pat writes in Flash Sucks.
Are we going to talk about Rodney instead of Flash?
You want to talk about Rodney? Talk about Rodney.
Like
go ahead.
Eric, read his quote.
This is Andy Driven Radio.
Sorry, I want to talk Patriots instead of how good Flash is or how bad Flash is.
Yeah,
you
he
got
was
to
on
get to the Flash Talk when I leave.
He was on the radio this week and talking about the rules changes and some quotes. It's crazy. You've been taught since you were 6 or 7 years old to finish the play. End quote.
Boy, does he finish the play. Mm-hmm.
Football is supposed to be a man's sport. The game is going to slow down and it's going to get softer. It's like patty cake right now. That's Rodney Harrison's
That's
take.
Rodney Harrison's
well,
take.
But go on, the part that he does that he would be okay with fixing would be the one that hurt him a couple years ago. The cut blocks on the crackback.
Harrison says the one rule they should get rid of is the chop block. Harrison doesn't mind if Hines Ward hits a guy up high. Harrison just doesn't like the low hits. That's from
which,
well,
by the way,
it's
already
story.
Illegal in a lot of ways. First of all, a chop block is not
a
the same
block.
Thing. They're two different things.
Chop block
and
a cut
of all,
block are two
they're
different things.
Illegal if you're more than whatever it is, 5 yards outside the tackle or 7 yards outside the tackle. You can only do it if you're in tight quarters. So it's they do take away the guy who's like 20 yards out taking getting a full running head start and trying to kill somebody.
Okay.
I can't get fat like that.
Well,
me.
Our next email kind of talks about some of these rule changes. But what do you guys is there more?
Just that as far as him coming back next year, he says he's going to decide what he's going to do within the next couple of months.
He said that like
so
two
he said that a couple
ago,
of months
he?
Ago. So he
sort
of
say I'll have like something to say to the media.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The
next
local
couple
guys.
Of months,
I'll
right.
get them together and
right,
talk
right,
whatever.
Right.
So now it's pushing it further into the future.
Okay. Let's see. This Pat person
what's up,
says sup transgender. That's a new word. Scalavano. As pronounced in Northern Italy. Hemorrhoid Heart and obviously Fred Kurtz. Is Paulie there? Oh, well. Just
here.
Kidding. I love you guys except Andy. This hasn't been talked about.
Who's that, Fat Pat?
I don't know. This hasn't been talked about at all, so I wonder
Lesbo
if you've
Pat.
Heard a few days ago after the week of the wild card playoffs. Asante, a few
wild
days
card
ago.
Playoffs.
Huh?
Wait
is
a minute.
A, is that an
what
old,
are you reading?
Is
are you
that
reading
an old
a,
email?
An old email?
I did that when I was doing my solo show, Fred.
What are you doing?
How the hell did... No, it says 326.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Okay, read it.
Anyway...
2 days ago, the wild card
yeah. playoffs. Asante Samuel went on Philly radio station, Power 101, and made a freestyle rap live saying, "Hey, Billy, tell me how my ass tastes." Wow.
No, he didn't, did he?
It was good enough
how
to...
How do we not hear that?
It was good enough to fuel Belichick to grasp Springs in Baden. We didn't hear that.
This wow. sounds made
this
up.
This is...
No, now he says, seriously, I want to add my input to this Brady rule. Okay, so what he's saying is that must have been why Belichick went
the impetus
out
for going after right, other okay. defensive backs.
Seriously, I want to add my input to but this Brady rule, which is kind of what we're talking about here. I think it was Fred on Tuesday that said if the defender is on the ground, they don't have the time to get back up to make the tackle on the QB above the waist. Well, that's too bad. In this case, the defender did not do his job. That's like an old lineman falling on the ground and it being okay to wrap the defender's legs.
No,
but
holding.
It's holding. If an old lineman is on the ground, he's pretty much out of the play.
Unless he gets up and gets back in the play.
As for the defender, he has a better chance to get back up and make a play depending on how long the QB holds onto the ball. I think it's as fair as they can get it. I do like what they have been done with the draft order changes. I think it should have been like that a long time ago. That would have put the Pats at 20th.
Exactly.
And the punk-ass Chargers would move from 16th to 25th. The league was a year too late with that.
Right, because it affected the Patriots.
You bet your ass I've got a solution for OT. Sudden death is not the problem. The way to eliminate OT is to have no rules in OT. Tackling at the knees, head-to-head contact, holding, grabbing face masks, late hits, taunting, low blows, sticking fingers in the other guy's helmets, roughing the kicker, punter, and QB should all be legal in OT. Sort of like a 1985 season of the XFL. The fear of playing reckless football will scare the crap out of the offenses, and they will always go for the win in the fourth quarter. On top of that, losing the coin toss might not be so bad, but the refs may need to carry metal batons to break up the scuffles. I'm saying since the league seems to be so anti-defense, why not give them the opportunity to have a little fun? But for real now, it's been said that there shouldn't be any changes made to OT, the set time, the two possession, or what have you, because of player safety. But the commission is okaying an 18-game regular season, so adding two full regular season games is less injury-threatening than expanding OT for the games that only require it.
Yeah.
Someone please explain, and oh, by the way, XFL's cheerleaders were skeezers.
Hot skeezers.
So
yeah, he's got a. That's a good point.
Makes a good point. If safety is rule number one,
right. But it isn't.
Yeah,
they weave in and out of what their priorities are.
I agree with Pat. It's
most
selective.
Games don't go into overtime, but if you're adding two regular ones, that's definitely
it's
more
selective
games.
Safety. Right. And if you want to, you can extrapolate it to the whole thing. It's the rules too. We're gonna worry about protecting the knees, but we're gonna actually expose them to two extra games of potential hits that could cause injury. Because that puts more money in our pockets.
John at Tewksbury says, good old commission is trying to extend the length of the regular season and plans to propose this idea in the summer. Isn't having 18 games a bit too much for the players to handle? I mean, sure, probably millions of people wouldn't mind seeing more games, but they don't care to look at things from a player's perspective.
Right.
Which way would you prefer?
I agree with that. I can deal
with 17. But I'd rather keep it the way it is.
I like 16.
If they're going to change it, I'd only say 17.
I don't mind 17. I think you could go to 17.
You were up in arms about 14 to 16, too, Fred. I remember. You were
really?
One of those guys that
back
was out at the forefront of that.
I don't like change. Back in the 40s with Paul?
Let's see.
I've been upset with the league ever since they moved the goalposts off the field.
Reed from the Cape says Fred is an idiot.
I agree.
Hey, PF guys.
Seconded.
And Chris, the worst webmaster ever. Folks, listen to what I am about to say. T.O. will be a freaking saint this year. The dumbass Bills management will re-sign him thinking he's changed, and then he will blow it up like he normally does. Also, Fred, I love you, buddy, but you are an idiot. You keep saying Andy is making things up about what you said, but what he said is true. Fred, for the first 3 months, you said, and I quote, I am not sure he will come back. Maybe he and Giselle will enjoy life without football. You had to have said it at least 10 times.
Thank you. Have a
great show and flash blows.
Reed is the greatest emailer.
I might have said it 10 times that one day, which was like a year ago, but I haven't said it since. So, Reed,
you can always tell.
Typical Fred.
But you can always tell when an email really does get under Fred's skin.
Yeah. No, because
I might have said it 10 times in that one day.
That's right. So, Reed and Andy can both go to hell.
And T.O.'s not going to be an angel because he already isn't.
He already said, I'll be there when it's mandatory.
Right.
I'll work out on my own.
That's just ridiculous.
He's a moron.
Isn't it? But the best part of the story is the award from an Alzheimer's group. I think that's just such a random aspect of the story.
Yeah.
I was thinking because they figure he already lost his mind. So.
Or they don't remember all the bad stuff. They think he's a good guy. They just get the instantaneous.
An Alzheimer's group doesn't remember?
Oh.
That's not right, Fred.
Oh, that's what he just said.
Fred.
That's what I was talking about.
Let's see.
He had to clarify it.
I thought doing that is okay. Obama does it, so it's all right to make fun of these groups.
Well, you just issue the apology later and invite him to your
guy.
House.
He is my guy.
They
I'm
issued it before the show ended.
I'm sticking with him.
Yeah, you do that.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, we have to as well.
I'm
supporting him because I have no choice.
Let's see.
He's going to be bankrupt.
Let's see. Who is this? Alex says, hello, guys, and Fred.
Whoa.
Fred, I thought you were the glue to the show, but since you never read my emails anymore, Andy is the glue,
yeah.
And you are just slightly higher than Eric Queen of the Hills.
That's because Andy's never ignored any of the emails because he never reads
Seems like there are a lot of people whose emails Fred doesn't read.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. and people don't like it.
It's an increasing problem.
Because he has to read. Well, Flash is brought up by this, but Real Player is a standalone player that backloads your computer.
Look,
and blah, blah, blah.
You barely even know it's there.
Right. This show is a lot about technology.
No, it isn't. It's about Patriots.
We have
Patriots Football Weekly.
We have a lot of technically savvy shows.
There's no technology in there.
We have a lot of technically savvy listeners who listen to this show. So when we make a big technical change, we should talk about it.
Save it for an offline discussion.
Can't say the word technical.
I'm having trouble.
Executive director of new problems media. With the word technical.
Can't say technical.
Alex.
Can't say nuclear.
Alex also says, so Andy and Paul, here's a scenario.
Uh-oh.
If you had the choice of getting Malauulu, Cushing, Matthews, or even a slim possibility of moving up in the first round via trade to get Aaron Maben, who would you go with and why?
I would go with Ray Malauulu right now.
I like Maben, but I don't really think you can get him. And I would agree with Andy that Ray is the guy.
I think Maben's all about Maben. Join him out too early. He should have stayed in.
Yeah.
You know dude knows about, there's testing, right?
You know more about
because he's put on like 28 pounds of pure muscle in like a month and a half.
I didn't get a good impression from him at the combine at all.
See, I can't comment on that stuff. Eric and Andy get all the inside dope from being there.
Brian would
Cushing,
not touch Maben.
Who were the other guys listed? Cushing and who else were my options?
Cushing, Malauulu, Maben.
Cushing, I just, to me.
Matthews.
And Matthews.
The theory of
all
Brian
the
Cushing.
Guys and Maben.
And Clay Matthews are better than what they are. Like, in theory, he's this great athlete, the size, the this.
Yeah.
Well, but I want to make plays. And Matthews I have no interest in. I think everybody compares him to Mike Vrabel. Okay, I'll take him where I took Mike Vrabel. What was that, the third round? Thank you. A great third round pick. I'll take the bloodlines. But in the first round, I want a playmaker. And Eric, you know who that is.
Huh.
See if you can guess my mind.
Brian Arakpo.
Well, he's one of them. But the guy the Pages have a chance to get, Larry English.
Larry English is a
playmaker
guy.
He's a guy who has proven, whether it be in at Illinois, Northern Illinois, Western,
Northern Illinois,
or the Senior Bowl, which is important for him because of the competition.
Very important for a guy like him.
He can get to the quarterback. He can beat tackles. He doesn't. His 40's not great. Whatever. He doesn't look like Maben when he takes his shirt off. But when the ball is snapped, he gets to the quarterback.
Larry English. Keep
That's
your
what
eye
I want
him.
That's
is he projected in the first round?
Yeah,
potentially.
He moves all over the place.
Late first round.
I'm sick of
right around
draft.
When the Patriots
Why do you get
picking?
So you're very like distraught all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Wow.
Wow. Jason
That's
in
just,
Providence.
You know, all the distraughtness.
Jason in Providence writes in. You know him, Eric? You know Jason?
I know Providence? A Jason who lives in Providence. Yes.
This could be him.
Yeah.
Do you know him? Know him?
He says, is
not
it
biblically? No.
You got to be careful. Did you see what happened to that New York Post guy? Or New York.
Paul's
radio
going to the
guy?
Big show.
Yes, I did.
You got to be careful with your little rendezvous.
I don't need to be careful.
I like Paul. He doesn't even say goodbye. He just gets up and leaves.
Where's he going?
He went to the big show.
Oh, my God. The guy's back from vacation for 2.5 hours, and he's got to go to the big show already?
Couldn't wait.
I feel bad for the big show.
Jeez.
I'm surprised he didn't do it remotely from Florida.
You know, if they add games to the regular season, that's one more game that he's not going to have to work.
It's true.
Why?
Because he doesn't work as it is.
Oh. Okay, well, anyway, Jason from Providence, who Eric knows, says, is it a possibility that Rodney Harrison might pull a Junior Seau and sign with the Pats midseason to help bolster our defense, or are we simply done with him?
I think a midseason signing is possible.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah,
I will say that ESPN did report on their little free agent tracker that he was a Patriot for next season. Without reporting it in any way, just kind of putting Patriots next to his name for 2009.
Yeah, if he plays, I don't see him playing for another team. So I think that's maybe what they're thinking, too. Like, oh, they just assume he's going to be here. And
might also
probably
be why
right,
he's pushing
but
things off. But, I mean, we know that he hasn't been healthy. So maybe this process right now is taking longer before, who knows.
Maybe.
I personally wouldn't count on him for a single thing in 2009. Whether he signs or not. If he signs tomorrow, I'm not counting on Rodney Harrison.
I'm not.
If he doesn't, I'm not counting
he's
on
not
him
in
to
the
come
equation.
I have to say it's Merriweather, it's Sanders, it's Springs, it's whoever I draft.
Mike Williams.
Speaking of guys I'm not counting on for a single thing in 2009.
Right. And by the way, if Rodney were a midseason replacement, that's not necessarily a good thing because that means there's
need
a need for him.
Right.
Like last year, it was a nice story that he came back, but the reason he came back was because they needed him.
Eric, when you get a chance, could you pour me a bowl of soda?
Sure.
Thanks.
Why don't you use the same bowl you used before?
Oh, all right. Like,
how was your bread, Eric?
It was okay, but it wasn't what I was hoping for.
TG and NJ writes in, guys, what's the deal with Pat White, QB or wide receiver? God's gift to the Wildcat? The Pats had him in for a look-see. Do you see the Pats take? No, I want a new bowl. This has stuff in it. The Pats had him in for a look-see. Do you see the Pats taking him if he's available at 23? Also, they had What?
23? No, I do not see them taking Pat White at 23.
Also, they had Michigan State quarterback Brian Hoyer in as well. What gives? Also, which wide receiver in the draft do you see the Pats targeting? And wow, Eric 2G Dillard. Really does suck. Soup bowls? I like how Andy sticks up for his new boy, Eric. So gay.
When did I stick up for Eric?
Lately, you've been we've been sort of...
only when it's deserved.
Bros, you know?
When it's deserved.
Thank you for my
You did a fine job at the Combine, I told everybody.
Yes, you did.
When you suck, I tell them you suck.
Yeah, but lately that's two genders.
I'm just straightened out. It's the truth with me. And the truth is Pat White has no chance of getting drafted with the 23rd selection by the New England Patriots.
So stop thinking
I would be... I mean, I think there's a question as to whether they would consider him with the... Whatever, the 58
47
or whatever,
or 48, 58.
Picks there. I mean, I think he's a slash player.
Yeah.
I think if he has a permanent position, to me, it's wide receiver. I don't think he'll ever be a permanent NFL quarterback.
I don't either.
But he throws well enough to be a weapon out of the Wildcat.
He throws better than any of those Wildcat players who do
Certainly.
It now.
Better or worse than Ray Lucas was? Remember Ray Lucas?
I do.
Better.
Better.
Better than Ray Lucas.
Better athlete, I think. Fast. Can
better
throw.
Or worse than the original Slash?
Better.
Better.
Really?
Yes.
I hate Cordell Stewart.
Cordell was overrated.
I mean, forget about what he ended up being, but coming out, what people thought of him. Tucci liked that. The group,
I think there was more hype over Cordell when he came out, because I think he was one of the first modern day, I say modern day, I'm saying like the last 20 years, player who was in that slash mode. Right. So I think he sort of made that position in vogue again.
He was right-handed, too. I don't like lefties, and Pat White's left-handed.
So I think there was probably more hype about him when he came out, but I think...
He had that big play to Westbrook.
Yeah. Right. Over.
I mean, Pat
over,
White,
over
Ty Law.
Ty Law.
Pat White is a runner. I mean,
a very
made his
runner.
Money running, spread offense, running. You know, they had Slayton with him. They have Devine. I mean, they're a run-based team out of the spread with Rodriguez. And I mean, he can throw, don't get me wrong, but...
Cordell had a gun. Cordell could throw it deep.
I think
he wasn't really much of a runner. He was more of like a good pass catcher.
Cordell was a college quarterback who was athletic.
Right.
Pat White, to me, is still an athletic guy who played college quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see him as a quarterback in the National Football
League.
I mean, he's like 6 feet.
He's 6 feet, barely 200.
90 pounds. Yeah. I'd be stunned if you ever see him as a quarterback.
I think we're going to be talking about who's going to take Pat White in the fourth round.
I think maybe the third.
The Wildcat value is questionable.
Fourth round. He's going to slip.
Okay.
Fred, they have 6 picks in the top 100. They could go need and still take him in the 90s.
I'm talking overall. He will be untaken when the fourth round comes up.
You're wrong. Want to bet?
Okay.
Want to bet?
That's just my prediction.
Want to bet?
Let's see. Alexander says, hey guys, greetings all the way from Panama. My question is, off the top of your heads, who are your favorite prospects so far? If the draft was today and you were the GMs in charge of taking the player, doesn't matter if you haven't watched videos, all of them. Who's your favorite prospect?
For the Patriots or just in general?
In general. In general.
What's the need?
Or just rank our, he's saying rank our favorite players. No, doesn't matter what the need
doesn't
is.
Matter
doesn't
matter
what the team
is.
If you could just pick any player in this
who
draft,
who are your
who
blue chippers this year?
I won't lie to you. There's not a single guy in this draft that I wouldn't have some trepidation about picking right now.
Really?
Yep. Okay. Every guy.
And there are a ton of guys.
Whether it's the linemen, whether it's the running backs, whether it's Crabtree because of the injury, the questions, can he get off the line? I mean, every single guy I can think of that I would say is a top 10 or 15 prospect, I can come up with a question.
And the other thing about that, too, along those lines, is that I think in this draft, more than any other I've seen lately, is that there are more players on both sides of the ball who are considered multi-position players who you don't really know where they're going to fit.
Right.
Than in most drafts, which I think makes it intriguing, but at the same time raises questions. What are they going to do? How are they going to play?
Everett Brown,
Everett
Florida
Brown.
State, pass rusher. I think the dude can get to the quarterback. Arakpo, I have my doubts about. And part of it is I'm scared about the Golston thing because I feel like I'm falling in love with him like I fell in love with Golston, who I haven't given up on, but clearly had his issues as a rookie. Curry, who is supposed to be like this perfect player, he's good, but he's not really an impact guy. And if you look back, Derek Johnson, who's on the Chiefs, is the same kind of guy. Like, I think he's been a good pro, but he was like a top 7 pick or top 10 pick. And unless I'm calling him a defensive player of the year candidate, I'm a little disappointed. Mm. So I could draft Curry. I could play him at outside linebacker for the next 8 years, and he's a good player, but is he an elite top 3-5 prospect? Mm. So I we talked about the tackles on the podcast yesterday. I have doubts about all of them. Eugene Monroe would be my favorite.
Next week is my week
Jason
to get
Smith's
up to speed
pretty
with
close
the draft.
To there.
You won't be up to the speed by the
You're
time
you read Our Lads tomorrow. Next
I'm
week?
I'm reading Our Lads. I'm
what
reading,
color is it this month?
Blue.
Oh, blue.
Yeah.
I like it when it's orange.
I'm reading Our Lads. I'm going to read everything you guys have written. I'm going to watch all the video.
What? You are going to watch video?
I'm going to watch all the video next week.
No chance.
All of it next week?
As much as I can.
I thought you were which is to say none.
I'm very busy.
I believe you when you say that. That's why I think there's no chance you watch all the video
try.
Next week.
I'm going to try.
Okay.
I might come in at night.
Yeah. Well,
you might come in at night?
Yeah.
Why don't you just stay
I need
the rest
to get
the
up
day?
To speed.
You don't need to go back home and come back in.
This is the first time that I can remember where I don't even know who the top 10 are.
Well, I think part of it is what I just said.
I'm it's not like the
I
big
think it's
names.
A deeper draft than it is top heavy.
Well, they're names, but they're not necessarily talent.
Like, I know Malayuga, and I know Laurinaitis, and I know...
But you're talking about guys that could be potentially like
right.
20 in the
right.
20s.
I know the linebackers because we've been talking about them for over a year now.
Right.
But other than that, I got to get up to speed. I got to get up to speed.
Remember this name at quarterback, Tom Brandstater, Fresno State.
Okay. All right. Pat Hills guy?
Pat
Wants
Hills
to
guy.
Be Tom Brady. Looks like, you know, tall California kid type. The Matt Castle mold, the Kevin O'Connell mold. Eric will have a crush on him as soon as he gets here.
He's not going to come here.
Why?
Because Kevin O'Connell's
Oh, that's right. He would step on Kevin O'Connell's toes, and you want him to be the future starter.
I don't want him to be. He's the future starter.
I don't know. A lot can happen between now and when Brady decides to hang him up.
Which thought he was going to do last
could be
fall.
Any no, I didn't. Now.
Mensa from the Bronx, what do you guys think about the Patriots signing Jason Taylor? Because I do not think this Julius Peppers thing is going anywhere. I think it will make sense by signing Taylor anyway, but I think they better do that before someone else grabs him.
No one's in a rush to grab him, first of all. Taylor would still be, I assert, plan B in the Patriots' plans this year.
Have any other teams, like, whether it's the team itself or writers?
I haven't heard Jason Taylor's name since.
Yeah, attached to any other
San Diego.
Team.
The first
San Diego.
Game,
San Diego. Okay.
But that was just thrown out there by Adam Schefter. There was nothing, no substance
well, it's
to
better
that.
Than nothing. Yeah.
But the day he was released or the morning after, it was like 12 teams interested have contacted Taylor, and since then there's been nothing. It just fell off the map, quiet, which... he's going to be a Patriot. No questions.
Walter wants us to go back to real player because if pause isn't going to be available, it's an essential feature. And he feels we need to go back.
Why didn't you think of this before you went to Flash? Didn't you know how much people like pause?
Flash is better.
Why didn't you wait until the few months when the pause button was already
there? Really is going to be a pause in a couple months?
Yeah.
So
Adobe's
why didn't you wait until then?
It's Flash on demand. Like if you were to watch this show, you know, tonight on demand, you could use the pause. But live Flash doesn't have
So why didn't you wait until that feature came into effect?
Because we got to get this done before the draft.
Oh. Why?
Because of the volume.
Of?
You know, we want to maximize our volume on draft day.
Okay.
I was disappointed with our draft last year.
Okay.
Remember I was talking about the numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but what are you comparing the numbers to?
The year before.
Yeah, that's not exactly apples to apples.
Which was the Randy Moss trade.
Randy Moss.
Well, yeah. But that was only day two.
But it was day one and day two because people were listening to
catch
up.
Yeah, yeah.
If this year, if there's a whole Julius Peppers angle to it,
right.
I guarantee our numbers will be
well
up.
Well, I think our
numbers
are going to be up anyway. I you know, a couple months ago, I was complaining how numbers on Patriots.com were down.
They're up again?
They are going up again.
Really?
Yeah, people are coming back.
That's because Eric and Andy have been doing a good job on the site while Paul was doing nothing.
People are coming back.
Didn't that show up in my raise next year?
There's a nice uptick.
Are we getting raises next year?
There's a nice uptick to the we'll be lucky if we have jobs.
He didn't miss it. There's a nice update. We'll be lucky if we have jobs.
Let's see. Tucci just handed me this email from Kamani. 3.5 weeks ago, Andy or Fred told a story about when they were traveling and Eric was harassing a woman on the flight. He was really coming on strong.
Oh, yeah. Coming back from
the combine.
Right.
He was all over her.
Was all over me.
No, she
She
wasn't.
Started talking to me. I didn't make any contact with her until then. She initiated the conversation.
Right, okay. Proceed, Fred.
Eric's idea of initiating the conversation is, I need to go to the bathroom. Could you get up?
No. No, he was on the outside, actually, the aisle. She was on the inside.
That's what I mean. She had to go to the bathroom, so she asked him if he could get up.
We didn't have bathrooms on that plane. It was too small.
No bathrooms on the plane?
It was too small. It's one of those prop things that
Andy's
afraid
to fly on. I think
FAA
regulations on commercial flights mean you have to have a bathroom.
Anyway, he says, so he was harassing her on the flight. Then he said last week he was coming on really strong to not-so-hot Amy until he found out she was gay.
No, I mean, and even more so now that...
And let's not forget that poor girl in Delaware he was obsessed with. I detect a pattern here. You really need to have a sit-down with Eric. I fear that one day we are all going to turn on the news and see a live feed from the front of Eric's apartment. There will be a yellow police tape around the building. Underneath the scroll, we will be saying a grisly discovery.
This is what I was just talking about.
There will be CSI
report.
Officers coming out of the apartment wearing hazardous materials, carrying various cylinders and drums. You really need to talk things over with him.
You don't do that kind of stuff, right?
No.
You don't mess around on Craigslist with encounters?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Male or female, by the way.
No.
I think setting up any kind of strange encounter on Craigslist is a recipe for you to end up, as they said, on the news with police tape around.
Mike writes in. He says, Paul
Mike
has.
Wright?
Yeah, Mike Wright? Oh, no. Mike writes. Mike writes, not Mike Wright. Mike writes in.
Making
says,
inroads onto the roster.
This he says, Paul has boobs and is bad at his job.
I agree.
2G is just bad at his job.
I agree.
Fred seems to have trouble breathing.
Yes.
Eric
he does.
Likes men.
That's inaccurate.
And Andy also likes men, but is probably the pitcher.
Oh!
That is all, says Mike.
No, for the record.
Yeah, just
love,
no, yeah.
Love women. They just don't love me.
Love?
Yes.
They don't even associate with you. Sorry.
Wow, good stuff. Let's see.
Kind of mean.
A lot of emails coming in.
So read them.
So read them instead of saying
the Flash
a lot of emails and another one about Flash. Pause was not working right.
Enough with the Flash emails. We have Flash. Get over it. It's going to be fixed with the pause button in a couple of months. Deal.
Wow.
That was angry.
Yeah.
Well, because you keep reading these stupid things about the Flash.
But that's not
Nobody
the email
cares.
People's fault. It's his fault.
I'm
mad at him.
I like when people react to the things we're doing because it shows that they're involved.
Okay, you can read them off the air to yourself. You don't have to waste time on the show
Fred,
reading
did I
them.
See that there was...
They took the time to write, Eric.
And you
so
never
you can read,
read
them
it.
To yourself.
The other people took the time to write, too.
They didn't write them to me. They wrote them to the show. Go ahead, Andy.
Did I see where...
I have to have another sip from my bowl.
In a throwaway line... From elsewhere, it's been talked about that Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium in Fenway Park, were in talks with the NHL for Winter Classic, but
yes.
Gillette Stadium was the third.
Yes.
You
I
hear
saw
anything
that.
Of this?
Winter Classic for what, hockey?
NHL.
Yeah, the New Year's
you know
Day
how they play
outdoor
one
game.
Every...
Yeah, I heard something about that.
There were
Have
three
you
locations.
Heard internally or externally?
Is externally.
There... So is there some truth to the rumor, do you know?
I don't know.
I would go to that. Just to see the event, see what a hockey.
I watched some of that on this New Year's Day.
Who gives
I think
a
it was,
crap.
It's awesome, though.
It's an event.
It really is cool.
So the Dalai Lama's coming. You going to that?
No, because
no.
I don't care
it's
about
an event.
Dalai Lama. I like
but
sports.
It's an event.
I like sports.
Revs games.
Do
Revs games.
I like sports.
They're an event.
They're not an event.
AC Milan, Inter Milan.
Yeah, two of the best teams in the world.
That's
are
a good one.
Here.
That's a
I would
one.
Consider something
they play
like
in
that.
The Italy league
because that's an event.
Yeah, A league,
but I won't just
Serie A.
Right, exactly.
Serie A.
But you don't know whether there's any truth to the possibility that the NHL could play a game.
I heard that you know that was something
that
probably
cool.
the same place you heard.
Either here or Fenway would be cool.
When are they going to start doing that? We were promised more events at Gillette Stadium with the turf.
Well, this summer we got U2 coming.
Yeah,
we got the country.
Yeah.
We got Elton John and Billy Joel.
Yeah.
There's another concert that's going to get announced this week.
Give me a hint.
Actually, next week.
Give me
big,
a hint.
Big?
If you like heavy metal, you'll like this.
Metallica.
That's coming next week.
Okay.
So that'll be announced next week. And I'm not privy to be able to talk about it, but there are some really unique stuff, not this year, but planned, you know, in the years to come.
College football?
At Gillette Stadium. Maybe. But
UConn BC?
But even this year, NCAA Final Four lacrosse is coming again, and it's coming back in 2012. That's a great event. It's a great event.
Good take.
It
Weekend
really is.
Long, one ticket gets you into all 3
High
days.
High school football combine?
The combine's coming May 13th
right?
here. Yeah. Yeah.
So one.
There's a lot of stuff, and big events are planned in the future. Gillette Stadium is a hot place. Patriot place.
I agree with Andy, though, about the outdoor hockey thing. I think that would be a big
That'd be
draw.
Cool.
That'd be really, really cool.
WrestleMania.
What would you think, though? Now, forget about hockey.
Right. Smackdown.
What would you think, just as a person who lives in the area, if Patriot Place put in an ice rink just for people to
I
go
like
skating?
It. I like it.
You like
yes.
this?
Yep.
Would you take your kids?
Yep, sure.
If you lived around here?
Yep.
Okay.
We have the one in Providence. It's hugely popular.
Does it have hills on it?
On the ice rink?
Yeah.
No, there are no hills on the ice
good,
rink,
good.
Fred.
So then you can go.
So, yes, I can go.
All right.
But we need more events here. They
did
need
you just burp while you were laughing?
No.
No, I like the events. They need to keep that rolling. I like that. It's more than just – and it benefits, obviously, Patriot Place. The more times you get people
idea.
Here.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, I like the UConn-BC idea, some sort of a yearly rivalry between the two.
Yep.
Now you finally have a second football school in the – I mean, UConn, they were talking about it with Belichick at it.
Yep.
Had a pro day like they've never had before because they've never had a first day pick. They could potentially have three with Donald Brown, Darius Butler, and the terrible offensive lineman Beattie. Could all go in the first round, never mind the first day. You could develop a nice little rivalry. I think that'd
they
be
could,
a cool
they
event.
They could bill it as the world's second largest outdoor cocktail party. Right? Neutral site, two teams, rivalry.
I don't know if we should make the comparisons. I mean, we're still trying to build the rivalry a little bit before we compare it to.
And turn it into a drink fest.
Well, people like to drink. They like football.
That's what people do at Gillette Stadium is drink.
James in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, just checking in to let you know I am still out here listening. I've just not called or emailed for a good while because of numerous things, but basically it has been a result of me taking an extended break from football and wanting to see how a few things shake out before I put my 2 cents worth in. Some of the Patriots moves have made more sense, I think he means, as time has passed. So my earlier comments would have been a lot different than they are now. If I had not waited, I would have said something like, what the F is going on up there? I say that overall the Patriots have made some good moves, and I feel that these moves have improved the team in the right areas. Only time will tell if these moves work out like we hope they do.
True.
So, but James, you
that means he's buying into, you know, Belichick was talking to Fox Sports and said, you know, he knows that if they had taken the chance, they could have waited and maybe gotten more, but they didn't feel, you know, they took the trade that was on the table, sort of what we talked about all along, and he's kind of buying into that. But if they, hypothetically, if they sign Jason Taylor between now and the draft, you've basically filled all your needs before you get to the draft when you have six picks in the top 97. You can do whatever you want because you had needs at corner, you had needs at depth at receiver, you had needs at outside linebacker after you trade Vrabel. If you fill that need with Taylor, you're really – sure, you need to add depth to a lot of positions, but you really can go in with an open mind.
And they still might sign another quarterback,
sure.
A veteran quarterback.
Sure, they could bring in a veteran by then, yep.
So, yeah, they could be in a position to just sit back and
– or they could just go Tom Brady, Kevin O'Connell, 1 and 2.
Yep.
And Pat White, here's your roster spot. It involves you being the third quarterback.
Ooh,
it involves you being a backup running back, backup slot receiver. You're going to run the Wildcat. Trouble with that theory is you can't have him active to
That's
run the Wildcat.
Right. I was going to say.
I just had one of those Fred Kirsch-like conversations
Talked yourself
with
out
myself.
Of it. Yeah. Only you did it on the air for us,
he's the
whereas
third
Fred
quarterback,
usually does it up in his head.
You'd have to make O'Connell the third quarterback.
We don't like that.
That would hurt.
That would
demotion.
Hurt. That would hurt.
TG and NJ says... Everybody seems to be on edge today, except Paul. Maybe it's time for a rest.
It's because he's been he
for the rest of you to take
for
vacation.
The
Thank
month.
God, 2G's vacation is permanent.
Paul doesn't have
Paul's
an edge.
Paul's gone.
He just doesn't care anymore. He's mailed it in.
Yeah.
Although I hope he's testy on the radio today.
He won't be.
Why?
I don't know.
Because on the radio there, he has no testes. He's a pansy.
Josh says
who he's on with Bill Bird or something. I hope a terrible show.
It's probably him and. You know, Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson, Steve Burton.
The A-team.
He always gets mad because he's like, I wish I was on with somebody good.
Right, right.
Well, maybe you're supposed to be the good guy that day.
Josh from Arlington says, I heard Andy say that 2G is a disgusting human being. Well, I would say it sure takes one to know one.
I agree.
After all, Andy is the guy who came on the show to discuss his year-long anal itching issues and offered vivid descriptions of him scratching himself with his legs over his head while lying on his back. Hello, pot, meet kettle. What a DB.
But I do my job. I show up for podcasts when I'm supposed to. He goes, oh, there's a radio show. I didn't get food. He just doesn't do anything. He's overwhelmed. That's the problem. I try to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He's got a lot on his plate. I was looking at we have this thing called Project Path. It's an online tool for putting all your projects.
I've heard
in.
A lot of bad things about it.
Well, no, it's a very good tool, but it's
we have so many projects in there right
I've
now.
I've heard a lot about
I have things. Never been, you know, in my 15 years of being with this team, I have never been busier with more different things. It's unbelievable.
As a result of that program or just in general?
No.
If it wasn't,
as a result of streamlining through this program, I've never been busier.
There's just so many things going on this year. I mean,
Dalai Lama.
50th anniversary, yep. London trip.
Yep.
Patriot Place opening up.
There is a lot.
There is a lot.
I heard a guy walk through the office, and I can't say the second thing that you're going to talk about in a couple of weeks, whatever, but he said, yeah, this morning I'm going to work on Dalai Lama, then this afternoon I have that.
Right.
And I was like, I work at Gillette Stadium, and there's just these random big names being thrown around. One's religious, one's heavy metal rock or whatever. It's just ridiculous what goes on at this place.
It's good. What 2G? Anything? No?
Anything at all?
Kabir from Columbus, Ohio. Not to keep beating a dead horse, but love the Flash because I can listen to the show live then the next day. Anywho's, just found you all at the beginning of the 08 season. It's nice to hear about the Pats between games and off season. So that's just Kabir. Just,
thanks, Kabir.
Good. Uh-huh. Thanks.
Let's see. Paul in London writes in, hey, guys, and the useless guy, not naming names. That could
Paul.
Be any of us, really.
No, it's Paul.
First, something I've been wanting to say for months. Talking of the 2008 draft, whatever happened to the Arizona cornerback who was drafted by the Chargers? The Arizona quarterback.
Cornerback.
Corner.
Right.
CB.
Kaysen. Antoine Kaysen. Yeah. Antoine Kaysen. Yeah.
I don't know.
He's on the Chargers.
Whatever happened to him?
He made the team.
Any good?
No. Didn't have a great year.
Second, who do you see as the new special teams captain? Ventrone, Aiken, Alexander Slater, or could it be Gostkowski?
Could be Gostkowski.
I think it's going to be Telly Bundekane.
There doesn't necessarily have to be one.
Yeah, there doesn't,
no,
have,
there
to
doesn't
be one,
have to be
but
one.
But could be Gostkowski.
Yeah.
Made a Pro Bowl.
It's an interesting question.
Fourth year.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want somebody that's also on there on return? I mean,
on
coverage? Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't think Alexander's good enough, and he may not be on the team.
So neither is Slater.
Slater may not be on the team because he's not good enough.
Ventrone could.
I wouldn't be stunned. I would not be stunned. I think he's carved out. He's going to be on the
team.
Carved
out a great niche.
Yeah.
Yes, he has. If you made me say, is Alexander, Slater, or Ventrone on the team? Ventrone is the safest pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's another one of my training camp picks.
Shut up.
He and Gostkowski.
I thought that Robbie Gould was your training.
Oh, that was Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thanks.
Gostkowski was a third round draft pick,
drinking.
Fourth round draft pick, whatever.
Finally, my offer still stands for a Papagino's in a couple of weeks, and I'd like to do it on a day when you are all there.
Well, that's going to be hard with Paul on this squad.
Check with Paul because you never know when he's.
Now, we got the new guy coming in, Toyota Tacoma. When is he starting?
Toyota.
When is he starting to?
Even that he looks at you.
In the middle of April.
The middle of April.
Why do you call him Toyota?
Whoa. We're going to have time to break him in before draft weekend.
What's
he
doing now? Why can't he start earlier?
He's unemployed.
Is he doing something? Is he
busy? He should be able to start now. He's unemployed.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a terrible transition phase for us, Fred.
Greg from Everett says, I love the show. Listen religiously every week, and I think you guys do a great job. Now that we have six picks within the first three rounds, out of the four USC LBs, Matthews, Cushing, Maliuga, and Mwaga,
Mwaga's a lineman, isn't he? Feely Mwala. That's the USC guy.
Oh.
Who out of these choices do you think best fits the Patriots, and do you think they have a shot of choosing more than one if they're still on the table? Maybe an outside linebacker like Matthews, an inside linebacker like Mwaga.
Maliuga is the best fit for this team among the USC guys.
Wait, Mauga is the kid from Utah, isn't he?
M-A-U-G-A.
Yeah. Feely Mwala is the USC player.
Yeah, but he's talking about...
And he was talking about the USC guys. Maliuga, Cushing... Matthews, and the other one, which is Feely Mwala, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's no G in it. The word he's saying is more like Josh Mauga from Nevada, not Utah.
That's just Fred having trouble with the pronunciation.
Further proving...
Bottom line, Ray Maliuga is the guy I want.
That's the guy you want.
Yeah. And if there's a second one, I'll take Matthews where he should be picked late in the second or early
third
in the
round.
Third.
Further proving that our listener base is technically savvy,
Joe
in Indy writes in, Flash is fantastic.
Great,
now I can listen live from my Windows mobile cell phone with the Sky Fire browser. Screw pause. You can pause the podcast.
Have this discussion on the forums on pfwinprogress.com. Don't waste time on the show with this.
And why, because they agree with Flash, are they technologically savvy, whereas if they rip it,
they're
not.
They're interested. Look, Brad Hughes... An emailer
in watching executions.
An emailer
if they put it on
who always
can't
emails
in
from
Stop.
New Brunswick.
Fred.
He says, "Please
Stop.
Don't what."
James in England set up this great website, pfwinprogress.com. He's got a forum section. If anybody
Other
wants to discuss
topics,
this,
all that
they
stuff.
Can talk about it at length over there.
Go sign up. If
Go
you haven't
site,
joined,
join the site.
Join them.
Have the discussion there. Don't email us about it, okay?
Another,
please.
Joel and Merrimack writing in about Flash. They all like to. Anyway, he says, as
Eric, why don't you blog about it? You blog about other useless information.
Wow.
Shot across the bow. I should blog about your new job because that's a lot of useless information.
Ooh. And it'll only last 6 months until you either quit or get fired.
He says, as for people who want to pause the show, tell them to hold their effing bladder and listen to the show or wait and go when you guys go to a break. On to football, he says, I am not on the Peppers bandwagon, but I have seen what kind of havoc Jason Taylor has managed to wreak on our O-line, and I am definitely forgetting him. Also, I just read once again that although Tony Gonzalez is not actively seeking a trade, he would be amenable to a good deal. The article described the good deal as a contending team, possibly the Pats. Wouldn't that be interesting? Don't know
yes,
if you guys discussed it, but what did you make about Belichick talking about the what-if scenario of the Pats going after Peppers and about how much was involved and how much time it would take? Is this just to soften up Jason a little, or was he just being candid about a possible deal? Anyway, keep up the good work.
I don't think that was a smokescreen by any means. I think there's interest in...
Oh, I don't. I think it was him toying with the media. I think the minute he brought up Julius Peppers in like a Matt Cassel question, I said, no chance of Julius Peppers.
Yeah, but
wrong. But.
No, but I think there's legitimate interest there.
Oh, I'm sure they talked, but
I think
Bill talks about every possibility and looks into everything. A side note on that.
Yes.
Have you noticed that there's I won't ask you, Fred, because you're too busy to pay attention to these things. That there's, you know, the Brady Bledsoe thing. There's developed into a Taylor Vrabel thing where everybody's like, well, you're gonna have to pay Jason Taylor $4 million. Why don't you just keep Mike Vrabel? Like, there's like this anger that you're replacing the position with another guy who had a bad year last year and down.
Yeah,
it's
like
an attachment to Vrabel where people are taking it personally.
Because he's been on the team and they know him, and Taylor was a guy on a division rival. That's
Taylor's
why.
A Hall of Famer.
Exactly, but people see things differently when they don't have that blue jersey on. And Taylor never had the blue jersey. Vrabel did, and Vrabel was part of three Super Bowl teams.
I love Vrabel.
So they have that but connection
in terms
to him.
Of physical abilities and impact
there's
playmaking.
There's no difference.
Jason Taylor can be a dominant defensive player.
I mean,
Jason
there's
Taylor.
No comparison. I'm sorry, no comparison.
Hall of Famer, yes?
Yes.
No? Yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Taylor?
Oh,
Mike,
yes.
Mike Vrabel, no.
No.
You know?
Patriots Hall
Patriots
of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Maybe.
I guess that's right.
He doesn't play for the team
that's
anymore.
That's true. A couple weeks ago, that would have been a yes. Now it's a maybe.
Yummy,
we didn't talk about Sullivan.
Billy Sullivan getting inducted into the Patriots Hall of
Fame. The first contributor.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The Crafts have Robert Kraft inducted him as Andy said, first contributor.
So when will this – is this going to be a ceremony or how's that work?
I don't know how they're going to do it. It's part of the 50th anniversary stuff, so.
Is he alive?
No.
He's not.
Okay. The late.
I
the late
sure.
Billy Sullivan.
Yeah.
His son's alive though, right?
Patrick
son?
Is around.
He was involved with the team.
Andy,
do you think, I don't know, 20, 30 years from now when you and I are old men – in our rocking chairs, that
we're going to be
called by the organization to get our thoughts on the nomination of Fred S. Kirsch as contributor to the Patriots.
You might
Hall
be called
Fame.
By the organization because you know you owe the team money for something.
Remember that combine? You expensed the cab ride. It said $48. I checked; it was $18.
Yeah, we just got around to looking at the 08 expense reports. And anyway, Yemi from Texas says, "Why is Andy Hart so sure of Jason Taylor's potential impact on the Patriots? He seems to have lost his passion for football, and last season may be an indicator of his current abilities."
That's a possibility. Same questions. It's a good point, Yemi. That's why I think the Peppers thing is going to
happen.
Kind
of like Julius Peppers lost his passion in 2007 when he took off, you know, a season.
But he wouldn't be taking it off on this kind of team.
Of course not. Why?
Because this team has a legitimate
chance
to win the Super Bowl.
Because he'd be a Patriot then, and that's the way we do it.
No,
we project the positive side as a Patriot, the negative side with everything else.
Chargers, the Panthers
had no shot. Why would
Jason
Taylor have lost it?
I think he's older. He's ready to retire. I don't think he's got...
Eric, don't do that to me.
I was going to say,
the neck.
And you're showing me all your chest hair. You're acting like Fred. Stop.
Eric's pulling his sweater down. Why are you doing that?
By the way,
you're going to stretch it out. It's not going to look good.
It's not going to look good?
No.
It's going to look like one of your shirts?
What?
Jason Taylor has succeeded in the system. That's the other thing. He's played in the system. He's had success as outside linebacker in Nick Saban's system. I like that. right. lessens the projection there. Okay. And I also think last year he was on the opposite end of the line of scrimmage, playing in a four-man front again, playing in a system where they asked him to play the run first and get to the passer second, which to me is just stupid, because if you have Jason Taylor, you tell him to get to the quarterback first and make impact plays. I think he was totally misused. So I think a lot of guys go to Washington and get misused.
So here's my question. Why did he go there?
Why did he go there?
The money.
He was traded.
But he could have said, yeah, but he could have said no,
right.
I don't want to
play. But he was traded. He clearly was at the end of the road in Miami, and they traded him.
I know they traded him, but why did he accept the deal? Why didn't he just say, I'm not going to play football?
He probably didn't have a ton of options.
Well, see, now
it was a trade. It wasn't a free agent.
Now, this gets back to a conversation I had with Paul yesterday about Julius Peppers. Why? What's the upside for not signing your franchise tender? Why hasn't he signed it? Why? And my only thing I can think of is that once you sign it, you become property of the
right.
team.
And
now they
control.
Can dictate your fate.
Right. That's right.
And now he kind of says he can talk to anybody right
that's
now,
right.
but technically the team can't.
That's what I said when we had Vic Carucci on last week or whenever it was.
Right.
I said, you know, do you think that there's any legitimacy to that claim? And I don't think he really agreed with that, but
I can't think of any other reason
why he would do that.
Why wouldn't you sign it and have
reason.
$16 million in the bank?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Matt Cassel learned that when he signed it. And according to Adam Schefter, when he reported that the deal was done and Matt Cassel was going to Kansas City, somebody, quote, close to Matt Cassel called Schefter and said, I think you might be wrong because they haven't talked to us about the trade yet.
Right.
And he said, they don't have to talk to you. You signed the tender. You're a piece of property. You're
right.
a player.
Right.
So I think there's some confusion about how exactly the
right.
franchise tag works and what rights you have. And I think that's clear. The reason
but
Peppers
as a,
has
now,
signed
now,
it.
Now, that's not to say if Peppers never signs it, he can't play football. He is technically the property of, you know,
Carolina.
No, right now he's not.
No, but he can't.
They can remove that tag right now.
Right.
And he's out.
But
he's
but,
a free agent. Thank you.
But you know, as long as that tag's on the table, he can't go and do anything else except sign it or get traded.
Right.
By Carolina.
But
he can sit out. That's the only other thing he can do.
He can't get traded by Carolina until
he signs.
I know what you're saying, and you're right. But, right, you know, his fate, he still has to do business with the Panthers.
But he can
in order to
do
play
business,
football.
He can do business with others.
Right.
If he signs it, he loses that
but,
right.
But he could do the best trade in the world and have it set up with the Patriots. But if Carolina doesn't want to do it,
right.
he can't go.
Right.
Unless he signs a deal with another team and that team is willing to give up two first-round picks. Then Carolina has no choice.
That's true.
They could match the offer.
Right.
But if they don't want to,
they
could do that.
But no, has any team ever done that?
Two first-round picks?
Yeah, for the franchise player?
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Joey Galloway was traded for two first-round picks, but I don't believe it was a franchise deal.
Yeah.
Flat-out franchise, I don't think it's ever been done.
I don't think it's done. And that's kind of the reason why they made the rule, because it's so prohibitive.
Especially in a year where a franchise quarterback gets you a second.
Yeah.
Chris with a TIAN says, below is a new edition of over-under for you guys.
Yes.
All right.
Total number of trades the Pats make on draft day, over-under two.
Over.
Push.
Over. Total offensive and defensive linemen drafted, over-under three.
Total offensive
push.
And defensive drafted?
Oh, both? Over.
Push.
Over.
Total linebackers drafted, over under two.
Over.
Over.
Really?
Yeah.
Fred Taylor's TDs, over under six.
Over.
Over.
Okay. Lawrence Maroney rushing yards, over under 1,000.
Over.
Under.
Oh, Andy's saying over.
Last time. I'm going all in.
Okay.
Under.
Joey Galloway TDs, over under four.
Under.
Under.
Over.
Over. Sammy Morris games played, over under 12.
Over.
Under.
Under, says Andy. Over, says Eric. Adalys Thomas sacks, over, under 10. Under.
Push. He's gonna get double digits this year. This is his
year.
So
go over.
No, push. He's going to get 10.
I'll go under.
Merriweather interceptions, over, under 4.
Under.
Under.
Under. Okay, good.
Push at 10.
I think he'll get 10.
We'll revisit this at the end of the season. If he has exactly 10, I will praise you. But there's very, very little
chance.
You're
not going to remember that long in the future.
I won't remember this by the time we get upstairs after this show.
Right.
Adi from Keene, New Hampshire says, "I just got scared. Please tell me that the NFL draft is not
going to be on the NFL Network, as I am still stuck with Time Warner. Is it going to be on ESPN?
Yes. Both. Both, yeah, again,
they,
right?
They do it both. It's dueling broadcast.
Dueling coverage.
But, you know, the reviews from last year said the network did better. Yes. They had a better...
The Entertainment Sports Network did better.
No, no, no. The NFL Network did better than ESPN.
I don't know. I canceled NFL Network.
Why'd you cancel it?
Because it was lumped in with some other packages, and I was shaving costs in the entertainment department.
Wow.
You were shaving packages?
Sam is in Chicago, originally from Arlington, Mass. 2G liked that one. He says, hi from Chicago. What game coming up this season would you say will be the one of the most defining games to signal the Patriots are back to a Super Bowl run? Pittsburgh, Colts, Titans. Thanks and love the show.
Pittsburgh.
I think it's too early to say.
Super Bowl champs,
it's too early to say.
Pittsburgh's the team to beat. They
yeah,
come
yeah
in
but
as
if,
the team
if, it's, if Pittsburgh's
to beat.
If Pittsburgh's week number two, doesn't mean that much.
It does if you match it physically. You yeah. got beat the bleep up last year
it's
in the
true.
Second half against the Pittsburgh
true.
Steelers.
True.
You need to match that.
True, but
they've matched the Colts over the years. Mm-hmm. Every time they play the Colts, they've matched them. They, you know, they come down to the wire, they get into a fight,
yep.
whatever it's going to
18, yep.
15, 34, 30, whatever it is.
Yep.
You got beat the bleep up last year, and you need to prove that you can deal with that. The defense,
that is
everything.
True. Yep. That is true.
And I think you will with
and
Tom Brady
defending
in the center.
Super Bowl champs. Got to go through them.
Jordan right. in Montreal says, Lawyer Malloy is a free agent. Why not revitalize his career?
Nope.
We're good at that. Bring
no
him
thanks.
Back. He'd be a great experienced veteran to add to the locker room.
I'm all set.
Wrong.
Yeah, the locker room lawyer crap. And I also think it got a little personal when he left, and I'm not sure Bill would like to revisit
yeah.
that.
All set with that. Youth movement.
John from Trumbull,
who's
Connecticut.
Sanders. Merriweather.
Who's the backups?
Whoever they draft.
Hank Williams.
Is not going to be on the team unless they expand the schedule and the roster this year.
We'll see.
All right.
John from Trumbull, Connecticut. I was on NFL.com.
Trumbull,
looking,
isn't there a good ice cream place there?
I don't
think
know.
I went
looking
there.
At the rule changes made at the owner's meeting, and the one that surprised me was the rule forbidding wedge blocking. It says, quote, after the ball is kicked, no more than two receiving team players may intentionally form a wedge in an attempt to block for the runner. An illegal wedge is defined as three or more players lined up shoulder to shoulder within 2 yards of each other. I was just curious how you guys think this will impact the return game. Will we see shorter or longer kick returns? Why did they remove this technique, which has been in the NFL forever?
I don't understand.
Head injuries, the whole theory that there's a wedge buster, a guy running down, launching himself into the wedge just to break it up. It's always been one of those things like the guy from Buffalo built his career on it. There's always
Steve
been these
Tasker.
Guys that have been like, oh, he's the tough guy, the special team of the wedge buster. Well, all those tough guy roles involved concussions and head problems, and they're trying to eliminate all that stuff across the board. And
will
you're telling
it increase
me that
or decrease yardage?
No effect, because the special teams coaches will adjust to it on both sides.
And you're telling me a special teams coach isn't going to assign a guy to try to break up those two if the return guy is running every time
well,
right behind
but they're just
those
trying
guys?
To limit it. It was
well,
kind of like the defensive thing.
This is a
thing,
technique
launching.
That most teams use, and now this technique has been taken away from them.
Right. The Patriots used it. They've
yeah.
always had a wedge.
Yeah,
I believe
sure.
a three-man wedge.
Right.
My guess is now teams will have a two-man caravan.
Even the Red Sox had a wedge. Eric.
Now he's the coach of the Cleveland Indians.
My guess is
a lot of wedge talk today. Salads.
Wedge salads.
So what's to stop them from having a two-man wedge with one guy right in front and then they
it's
just...
It's not a wedge. It's just two men in front of them.
But no,
one
know
man
about
in front having
of the two
men in front of you, Eric.
Oh. Speaking of
Eric
they're
going to adjust. Right. Something else right. will happen. It is consistent with what they're doing, the whole launching.
Yeah.
That was a wedge buster is a guy who launched himself
That's
into
true.
The wedge.
And he was normally a smaller player.
And he was normally, no offense, but like number 53 on the roster,
right.
can't
right.
body
he
tight.
He had to do it or else.
Yeah.
At least this brings...
It was workers' rights.
My whole thing about they're protecting the quarterback beyond belief, they should treat everybody equally. At least this has a sense of treating... They're treating that... Last guy on the roster equally and trying to protect his head.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's see. Not so hot. Amy in London is upset. She says, hi, guys, and Hall of Famer Paul.
Gone.
Just a few quick hits. Paul, I hope you had a great holiday. The show sucked without you. Well, he's
I
gone
doubt
again.
It. It's better without him.
Two, I like him. College football over time. I think it works well and is fair.
Eh.
And three, Eric is a douche. I didn't even get a reply after sending him all the info he asked for.
Nice job,
we've,
Eric.
Since she wrote, we've since corresponded and patched things up. It's all good.
You made up?
Yeah.
Kiss? It's hard to do that from 6,000 miles away, but maybe in the fall.
Yemi says that the Patriots don't play the Steelers next season.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. This shows how much we know.
I don't know the schedule, so I'm not going to pretend I've memorized it. I know it's Baltimore.
Adrian and Cleveland.
If we're going to use that tough we do play physical. Baltimore is a team. Do you think that was weird? That
why did we think we played the Steelers?
I don't know, because Fred told me they do, and you know I don't have a memory, so I don't know the schedule. Bill was talking about how he recommended John Harbaugh to Steve Biscotti. Why is Steve Biscotti asking Bill Belichick for... It's weird. I just, you know, we always get the feeling that
Bill got his start in Baltimore.
I
different
guess,
franchise,
but
obviously.
Biscotti's
but,
like,
you know,
young. I mean,
he is. Maybe there's, I don't know.
I mean, I know he has ties to that area through his family,
yeah,
and the Naval Academy and all that.
Right,
but,
right.
I just, the relationship with him is curious to me. And I also, maybe I have a misread on this, but you always got the feeling throughout Spygate and all the crap in the past that, you know, Bill wasn't the most popular guy to just call up and ask for advice or just call up and, you know, BS with if you're an owner, a GM, whatever. So I always felt like he had his circle, like a Floyd Reese or those people that were in it.
Yeah.
But a random owner to just ask his, who should I hire? It just felt a little weird. And I don't know why.
Well, it makes sense. It's an owner of a different team who has no apparent connection just calling up. I mean, unless he's saying, hey, guys won three Super Bowls. He must know something. Let me get his take.
Interesting.
He coached special teams.
Well, that was part of it. Bill said how much it helped him in his career to coach special teams, blah, blah, blah. That's part of it, but I don't think Biscotti knows that. You know what? Bill's a great coach, and I think he coached special teams in his fourth year in the league. Maybe he'll give me – it felt a little curious to me.
All right. Let's see. Who's up next? Dr. B, Seattle via Rockland, Mass. Okay. I've been very interested in discussion of the top 10 lists and the podcast. Obviously, the lists are very subjective, but fun to ponder nonetheless. Here's a top 10 list topic influenced by VH1 that I haven't heard posed on the podcast yet. The top 10 one-hit wonders in New England Patriots history. The criteria for the list would be defined by a Patriots player who had a bust-out year only, doesn't have to be rookie, to be cast into relative obscurity after a lackluster following year. Some initial candidates, Tom Ashworth.
Hey.
Vincent Brisby, Chris Canty, Larry Wiggum, Tony Collins, and Andy Katzenmoyer.
Chris Canty never really had a breakout year.
See, I don't think any of these guys had breakout years.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess Brisby had a good season or two.
Tom Ashworth as a tackle.
Ashworth had a...
You know, maybe like John Stevens might be.
How about... I don't know if it was...
Yeah, John Stevens would qualify more.
Kevin Turner was a flash in the pan, sort of, before he went to Philly and got a decent contract as a free agent.
Right,
there.
And then busted.
But... He didn't have 1 year where he exploded. He did that over the course of a few years.
He had a good year right before he left. He had like 57 catches.
Yeah, part of that group that had, what was it, five or six
with 50
or more?
Tony Eason.
One hit.
No.
I mean, both those rookies of the year, Stevens
and
Russell,
and Russell,
were kind of flash in the pans.
Yeah. Those would both qualify, I think.
Wasn't great.
Drew Bledsoe.
True
flash. Paul's not here. There's no reason to say that.
Come on. In the paint.
All right. I don't know if the Patriots have had a lot of those. They either stunk or they were good.
Yeah.
You know?
That's going to require some extra thought.
Trying to think. Any recent ones? I mean, they haven't really.
No. Chris Canty never did it.
He never did anything.
Borderline within a year or so would be Eugene Wilson. As a rookie, he was very good.
Yeah, that's
and
a good one.
And then he petered out.
I mean, he didn't have a breakout season,
right,
but he never lived up to the potential he showed early.
He petered out pretty quickly after a hot start.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Mike from Portland, good to have Paul back, although he's gone. Here's some advice, though. Go to a Northeastern game down in Florida where they actually have a good team. What does that mean? Where they play baseball? They play in baseball on there or something?
They go down there for baseball, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
On to football.
That must be what he means. The baseball team must be decent.
Knowing Bill, how many of the Patriots picks do you think will be used as bargaining chips in the trades at draft?
All of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anybody's
anything's
he'll be looking
anything's
to
on the table.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I mean, he's on the record saying it'd be unrealistic for 11 guys to come in and make the team. I mean, we're talking about right now that there's only a few needs, you know, depth here, depth there. Not to mention the rookie class from a year ago. It's not like 2 years ago where none of the rookies were even around anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have guys like Vince Redd or Crable and that are in the system and could potentially make the roster.
And plus, that's 11 players who would have salaries attached to them. And I think you have to consider that if they want to make a move to try to get either Peppers, Taylor, some other, you know, backup quarterback, somebody who's going to require more space under the cap, they're not going to be able to afford that and 11 draft picks. So,
well, I would argue it's the opposite. I would argue that if you got a Peppers, you might have to have 11 rookies making $265,000 on the roster rather than veterans making $700,000.
Then they'd have to make some moves with the veterans on the roster in order to accommodate that.
Well, we're talking about second tier guys, cutting guys, you know.
Yeah, somebody might,
you would keep your fifth round safety instead of Tank Williams because the fifth round safety is making $285,000 instead of $600,000.
True.
You saved $400,000. You do that 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you've saved a few million dollars on the cap. I don't think Bill likes to be forced into that. No. I think when he breaks camp, he wants to say that safety's good. I'll keep him. That guy's good. Not thinking about how much, you know, does he save $400,000 if he cuts a veteran?
Todd in Nova Scotia writes in, the Patriots showed interest last year in Zach Thomas. Any chance they might bring him in for the veteran minimum and a chance for him to get a ring? Could be a good low money rotational guy with Teddy Taylor and Thomas both have experience in the system, and that makes them attractive options. Just a thought, he might be done.
Yeah, I think he probably is done or close to done, but they certainly had interest in him last year before he went to Dallas, and he has experience in the system, and yeah, they need something on the inside right now. They don't have any. They have Mayo, Brewski, which I don't even know if you pencil in as not only not being able to play every down, but not being able to play all year.
And Guyton.
Speaking of not being able to play every down, I mean, Gary Guyton is a passing down player.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Was a nice story last year, but I don't want to go into the season counting on him as, you know,
as
next to Mayo as my starter or even 50-50 split with Brewski.
Yeah.
I'd be worried.
Hey, guys, in 2G, says John in Fayetteville, Georgia. If you could give a number one, a number two, and maybe a number four or five draft pick to Kansas City to get the number three pick in Aaron Curry, would you do it?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have what I want.
Yeah.
He's not an elite pass rusher.
Yeah, it's too much of a stretch.
I want an elite pass rusher. Yeah. I think he's going to be a good player.
Hard to come by.
What?
Elite pass rushers.
Yeah, I know, but if I'm trading a first, a second, and a fourth, I'm doing it to get an elite pass rusher, not a very good outside line. He's going to be a good player in all likelihood.
You throw Tony Gonzalez in that mix, and I'll take the trade.
Okay. What do you think about getting Gonzalez?
Sure.
Would you trade for him?
Sure.
What would you give up?
A second and a third. I wouldn't give up that much.
You'd give him a second round pick?
Maybe the low one.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I'd give him a third rounder at the most.
Yeah. Or maybe a third and a seventh next year or something to throw in for them. But I'd like to see him. I mean, I think he'd be another weapon. You know, Falk's talking about all the weapons they got. He'd certainly be another weapon.
God, another pass catcher.
He'd be a killer in the red zone.
I'm not, you know, I don't think the need is there for you to overpay to get
Imagine having Moss, Welker, Gonzalez, and Fred Taylor on the field at the same time inside the 10.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stop that?
Three Hall of Famers and a nice little player.
How do you stop that? I think Gonzalez is more than a good little player.
I was going to see if that registered.
Dave writes in, a lot of the mock drafts that I have looked at have the Patriots taking Alphonso Smith from Wake Forest.
Yep.
Does anybody know anything about this guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very
He's
athletic.
Very productive. He's the guy
versatile.
I want to know why he has 80 career pass defenses and 21 picks. I want to know
why
didn't they stop throwing at him and say the kid makes plays on the ball. Leads me to believe that they didn't fear him, which leads me to believe that, I don't know. I just have my questions about him. Very productive. I've heard a lot of coaches bring him up. I've heard comparisons to Asante Samuel. I've heard a lot of good stuff about him. Not overly big, but very productive. Just an aside, Fred, I think Greg Lewis could be an interesting addition to your Wes Welker argument. Whereas, is Wes Welker a 100-catch wide receiver, very good player, or a nice little player in a nice position? Because I think there's a good chance Greg Lewis comes in here and catches 45, 50 balls, and people go, maybe a lot of people could come in and be sure-handed, good route runners.
45, 50 balls is nothing like 100.
If Welker plays, yes, it is.
What do you mean if Welker plays?
If Moss and Welker stay, if they're still playing.
Like Stallworth a few years ago had that.
But if
Greg Lewis comes in, and they're doing a lot of 4-5 wide spread out, and he's the other slot guy, and zoom, zoom, he's underneath catching seven yarders.
Yeah.
It could hinder your argument for how great Wes Welker is.
Listen.
Because I think Greg Lewis is going to be a good player in this system. Based on everything I'm hearing about his sure-handed and good route runner, who you always know where he's going to be, sounds to me like the kind of guy that Tom Brady's really going to like.
All right. Let's see. Justin Ware says, the one-hit wonder is Corey Dillon. Come on, guys. You'd have to say so. Yeah.
I guess.
You know?
But it's a little different. But, yeah, I agree.
I think of that as younger guys, though.
Yeah, but the
no, that's a one-hit wonder as a Patriot.
As a Patriot.
Don't get defensive and argue with everybody just because you're mad about Flash.
Let's see. Craig writes it. Craig Bunce.
Craig.
Who was missing for 8 months, 12 months, whatever it is, and now emails every week. And
he's
still
not swamped anymore, apparently.
Did he get fired?
I don't know.
Are you no longer executive systems manager, consultant, bring it to the people,
Andy,
janitor?
You're full of crap.
With all the focus everyone is placing on the need of potential defensive backs and linebackers, I think the O-line has been overlooked. I do not see our O-line as having the potential to dominate. No, I'm not paranoid about the need to protect Brady's knees. I just feel like a strong O-line will allow all our skilled players to fulfill their potential. Back when Dillon ran for nearly 1,700 yards, we had 10 O-linemen active on the 53-man roster for each game.
I don't believe that's accurate. Oh, on the 53-man roster.
And he also says, you guys have done some great writing this week, especially Eric. So there
Thank you.
Go.
Thank you.
Get off your knees.
You know, this is the same offensive line that had three guys make the Pro Bowl 2 years ago.
So the same offensive line that didn't look too bad coming down the stretch last year when they got comfortable working with Matt Cassel and he started.
They're a pretty good line.
Not looking like. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
They're a nice little line. They're not elite.
And we haven't, I know you and I haven't overlooked that. We've been doing our draft research. We said that offensive line
yesterday that
is
we wouldn't be stunned to see them draft a starting tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an opening at right tackle or left if you think Light can move.
Mm-hmm.
If the value is there, one of these guys slips or.
If one of the blue chip guys slips. It. Oh, God, no.
But they've also added Al Johnson is depth. I mean, he's a veteran who's played in the league type depth.
Yeah,
so
better than your.
He'll retire.
He's better though. He's a better pickup than your Barry Stokes's.
Oh yeah.
Or your.
Oh yeah.
Who was the other guy that was a giant last year and was awful? Offensive lineman came in at training camp and he got cursed out by Skarnecki the first day and then he was gone for like the next week and then they cut him.
Oh yeah, I forget.
Played for the Jets, I think, at one point. I forgot his name.
Yeah, I forget.
But. Better quality player than Dante said.
This isn't a Caribbean vacation.
Exactly.
It's training camp or something.
Matt writes in. I guess he's from Optimum Performance or something like that.
That's Matt Chandler, Optimum Performance. He plays our show in the training center.
Oh, okay.
Semper Fi.
He's a Marine. He's a trainer.
And his
everything.
Place is called Optimum Performance.
Thank you for your service.
Don't mock two gender. I swear to God, I will come in there and break your neck.
Oh,
don't you dare mock the military.
He is not. He's mocking you, you idiot.
Don't ever do it. I swear to God, don't you dare.
Oh, listen, look at him. Look at him. Oh, my God. You are such a fraud.
That goes for you too, Kirsch.
When are you?
Goes for you too.
When are you enlisting?
I'm too old.
Yeah.
They don't ask you.
When did you enlist?
That's good. That's good.
Matt says, this is an open discussion. Here's the scenario. Formation. Wishbone, strong right, play, 34 dive. Question.
Andy Hart.
Does Andy score?
Yes.
No. My answer is yes. Discuss.
That's my man. Of course he scores.
Playing Tecmo Bowl?
No. Playing real football. See, he knows. He came up through the Dartmouth Wishbone system. Fred, don't you like the Wishbone?
Were you guys teammates?
I do. I like the Wishbone when Nebraska would play Oklahoma with the tearaway shirts, and by the end of the game, everybody's shirts would be in shreds.
But isn't it true that when run properly, the Wishbone is very pretty, artistic. It looks good.
It is.
Everybody assumes it's like this.
There's
ugly
a flow
smash.
To it. It's like Brazilian
it's
soccer.
It's not skillless.
There's a rhythm.
Right. It's not skillless. The exact opposite. When it's run properly, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
You don't see it run properly, though,
very often. Because nobody commits the time, energy, everything that goes into it. It's a thing of the past, but I'm with Hannah. One of these days, it's all going to come full circle. We'll go back to some running game and smack mouth.
Hi, I'm
Wishbone.
Adrian in Cleveland says Flash isn't working well,
yes.
So maybe Chris Ferreira can help Adrian.
Well, we've been.
Cleveland.
I mean, have we cleared up the issues we had Tuesday with the
bandwidth
in the stadium?
Oh, that's news for our listeners is that PFW in Progress is going to get its own dedicated T1 line.
Because we're killing the stadium, which is too big?
No, the stadium's killing us.
How?
So, bandwidth issues.
We don't have enough for the show?
That's right.
Right. So, see, it's us. It's too, right. We're too big.
No, we don't actually use a lot. It's scouts and stuff looking at video and things
what
like that.
What kind of video?
Well. anyway, we'll scouting. Close the show with TG and NJ said he heard that Dalai Lama's coming. When can he play corner?
we'll find out. Probably better than Hobbs.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you next Tuesday.